Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Cammie McCormick. More politics on tap for this weekend.
Look at this crowd. I'm fired up. I'm ready to go.
In Seattle today, thousands were turned away from a rally for Democrat Barack Obama because there was just no room.
With the next round of voter decisions coming this weekend, the candidates are picking up their campaigning. For the Democrats, Washington State is the big prize, but this state, Louisiana, is getting attention too. Former President Bill Clinton promoted his wife during a multi-city blitz.
She is now the only candidate left in either party who believes that it is high time that we had affordable health care for every single American citizen.
Republican candidates largely ignored this state, but with Mitt Romney gone, the stakes aren't as high. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Republican John McCain made a stop in Virginia today where he was cashing in on Mitt Romney's departure.
Governor Romney and I are committed to uniting this party and winning the election in November. We will work together.
Mike Huckabee was reminding voters in Topeka he's still in the running.
A lot of folks are saying, well, it looks like John McCain has already got this nomination, but not yet. Not yet.
Another body has been recovered from that sugar refinery blast in Savannah, Georgia.
We have four confirmed fatalities.
Four people are still unaccounted for. More than 30 people were hospitalized. President Bush toured parts of Tennessee today, hard hit by Tuesday's tornadoes.
I'm here to thank the people that will provide the compassion for people who hurt. I noticed we got the Red Cross sitting over there. They're good responders.
More than 50 people were killed in those twisters. State Department reaction this afternoon to Scotland Yard's investigation of the Benazir Bhutto assassination.
We don't have any reason why we would question the validity of their assessment.
A joint Scotland Yard Pakistani police investigation into the assassination of Benazir Bhutto concludes she was killed when the force of a suicide bomb threw her head against her car's reinforced sunroof escape hatch. It was not from gunshot wounds. Police say the shooter missed her, then blew himself up. The official view?
Benazir Bhutto died as a result of a severe head injury sustained as a consequence of the bomb blast.
Bhutto's party rejected the police findings. It claims the government was behind the assassination. Larry Miller, CBS News, London.
A former clubhouse attendant who claimed he sold Major League player steroids was sentenced today to 5 years probation.
This is Steve Futterman at the federal courthouse in San Francisco. Kirk Radomski avoided going to prison. Government prosecutors told the court that Radomski has cooperated extensively both with federal officials and Major League Baseball. The chief prosecutor called it the most significant cooperation so far in the ongoing investigation into the use of performance-enhancing drugs. Radomski made a brief statement to the court. He said he has received threats after agreeing to cooperate.
This is CBS News.
Hi. I'm David Orrick, and I'm introducing an amazing new technology for turning bad air into good air. And only Orrick has it. It's my new professional air purifier with a revolutionary Truman cell. It's so advanced it can even capture volatile organic compounds that are known carcinogens. To try the purest of air purifiers risk-free, call 1-800-989-4200. That's 1-800-989-4200.
Attention, Kmart shoppers. Mr. Blue Light here with Greg. And Greg, what are you going to get your girlfriend for Valentine's Day?
Absolutely nothing.
Nothing?
Yeah, she said she didn't want anything. She's cool like that.
Oh, no. Greg, what she means by that is that she wants you to surprise her with something from the heart.
Oh, dear.
This Valentine's Day, Kmart's Best of Blue is filled with items she'll love, like diamond earrings, pajama sets, or a beautiful journey pendant.
Wait, so when I call home and she tells me to stay out with my buddies, that means...
Come home now.
No way.
A warning about Botox from the federal government. Sam Litzinger reports.
The Food and Drug Administration says Botox and its competitor Myoblock have been linked to dangerous, in some cases deadly, botulism symptoms in some users. Aside from smoothing out wrinkles, the drugs are also used to treat muscle spasm conditions. The FDA's Dr. Russell Katz says those reports are cause for concern.
There's very few, as far as we know from our database at the moment, that are attributed to the cosmetic use. But we don't rule out the possibility that it might happen.
All the cases under investigation involve children, mostly cerebral palsy victims. Meantime, the FDA reminds users there may be a dangerous downside to using Botox and Myoblock. Sam Litzinger, CBS News.
The Atlantis crew today was inspecting the shuttle for possible damage to its wings or nose after yesterday's launch. It's precautionary. There's been no indication any debris hit the shuttle. On Wall Street today, the Dow finished off 64 points and the Nasdaq was up by 12. I'm Cammie McCormick, CBS News.
In the end, all any of us have is our good name. So at Mercedes-Benz, we don't put our name on just anything. Every certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz comes with a 155-point inspection, roadside assistance, a one-year warranty up to 100,000 miles, and the one thing no other pre-owned vehicle can offer: our good name. Mercedes-Benz. Stop by your local authorized dealer and ask about our certified pre-owned program.
See dealer for complete details on warranty and roadside assistance. Abbreviated inspection applicable to vehicles less than 15 months old with less than 18,000 miles.
So, hon, how do you want your hair done?
Oh, I just want to try something really different.
Okay, well, if we trim your disorganized finances, layer your expenses, and give your late invoicing some body, you'll look just like a movie star.
Is running your business getting in the way of running your business? That's why millions of businesses rely on QuickBooks software to easily handle routine chores, like organizing finances and tracking expenses, so you can get back to what you do best.
You are a stylist, aren't you?
Award-winning.
QuickBooks. Get back to business. Start today at QuickBooks.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Yabba-dabba-doo. That cold I've been fighting is finally receding. I feel fully human today. Hope that doesn't shock you about how I've appeared the last couple of weeks. Sun is shining at 75 degrees here in the San Francisco Bay Area today, and if your weather sucks, you have my empathy and condolences. There's a lot of bad weather across the country right now.
Dig, if you will, the picture of you and I engaged in a kiss. The sweat of the body covers me.
On today's program, some powerful guests will share their views, often not available in the corporate media. Later this hour, Tom Gangalli will join us. He's written a book that is perfect for this week. We just survived Super Tuesday, right? His book is all about the primary process. It's called From the Primaries to the Polls, How to Repair America's Broken Presidential Nomination Process. And he identifies the problems, the history of efforts to fix them, and he has a proposal called the American Plan. Now, there are hundreds of proposals to modify the presidential nominating process. And we'll sift through some of that later this hour with Tom Gangalli. Next hour, Matthew Rothschild, editor of The Progressive, returns. And he has uncovered something, an exclusive, that will frighten some of our listeners. There's a new squad of domestic spies, mostly corporate officials, who have affiliated with an FBI Homeland Security program called InfraGuard. Yeah, someone right down the hall could be monitoring your behavior. We're going to get an update on the whales versus the Navy, and the whales are winning. It's a loss for the Bush administration. Kara Horowitz will return from the National Resources Defense Council to talk about this issue, and the Navy has been instructed to create some whale-free zones, or sonar-free zones, I can't remember which. We'll talk about that. In our third and final hour, we will recap the process that brought us the results of Super Tuesday. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com, our go-to guy on election protection, election integrity issues. They're still counting ballots in New Mexico. California sped through the process faster than we expected, but there are problems, particularly those who requested independent voters who requested Democratic ballots in Los Angeles County. And there's also a double bubble that appeared on ballots there that confused a lot of people. Brad will update us on that. And there's room for your phone calls all along the way. You can dial in anytime, 888-5-PETER-B. It's 888-573-8372. We kick off the show as usual today with Robert Perry, Bob Perry from ConsortiumNews.com. He worked for AP and Frontline and helped break the Iran-Contra stories. His most recent book that he co-authored with two of his sons is called Neck Deep, The Disastrous Presidency of George W. Bush. Bob Perry, how you doing today?
Good, Peter. How are you?
Not too bad. I'm feeling better than I have in quite a while.
That is great. The great thing about being sick is when you stop being sick.
Yeah. Well, you have been busy at ConsortiumNews.com this week, and I wanted to comment on a couple and get your comments on a couple of the posts. One, I'm grateful for your relationship with my friend Ray McGovern, who is a former CIA analyst, a guy who used to give the president his daily briefing, and a man who has a conscience. And there's a post there about water borders for God that I recommend people read. A post that you wrote on February 6th relates to, it's called Injecting Terror into Campaign 2008. And you tie together the appearance of some of the top spooks on Capitol Hill this week with revelations, admissions of waterboarding. And, Bob, you and I go back long enough to the Nixon era. Is this the limited hangout route all over again where they've admitted, oh, yeah, we waterboarded three really bad guys 5 years ago, but don't worry, we're not doing it anymore. And Hayden, the CIA head, on Thursday said that, well, he doesn't think it's legal anymore.
Well, it is pretty extraordinary because what you have here is the U.S. government admitting that it committed crimes. You can pretend that they're not sure that this was a crime. Well, we did it and we thought it was okay. But what you really had was the Bush administration from the highest levels, from the president and vice president on down, including the Justice Department, authorizing and approving what it was clearly a crime, that is, to subject a detainee to waterboarding. Waterboarding has been torture and considered torture since at least the Inquisition. There were cases of American soldiers who engaged in this practice back over 100 years ago in the Philippines who were prosecuted for it. There were cases of Japanese soldiers who subjected Americans to it during World War II who were later convicted of war crimes and executed. So here you have a practice that was authorized by the president, approved by the vice president, cleared by the Justice Department that was clearly a crime. And whether it was done to some really unsavory guy or someone who might not be, that the whole point of law and the concepts of no one being above the law is that you're not, there are certain things you're not supposed to do. And this was one where the government is now pretty much acknowledged that it approved this. And that was the point that Attorney General Mukasey made when he said that he could not investigate this as a crime because the Justice Department, which he heads, had approved it. He made that acknowledgement before the House Judiciary Committee just yesterday.
Well, and I watched part of that on C-SPAN on the replay Thursday night, Bob, and I was stunned by what Mukasey advanced, and I was pleased with a congressman from Massachusetts, Delahunt, who confronted him and said, well, are you presenting a new legal theory that because the Justice Department provided advice, this is a John Yoo memo from the Office of Legal Counsel, redefining torture to say the waterboard is not torture, and if that was in error, and people in the field relied upon that and committed waterboarding, then you will not investigate either the people who wrote the memo or the people who acted out these allegedly approved enhanced interrogation techniques? And Mukasey just said no.
Right. He simply is refusing to do it. You have clear evidence of a crime, and simply because high-level officials have approved a crime doesn't mean it's not a crime. That was one of the lessons, as you mentioned, from the Nixon era, the Watergate period, was that even if the president authorizes you to do something and sanctions it, it doesn't mean you can go off and break the law. And if you do, you can be held accountable. And in the case of Nixon, he was held accountable. Granted, he was not fully impeached because he decided to resign. But Congress said there are limits of what even the President of the United States can do and authorize. And here you have an example of the highest level officials saying this is something they wanted to see happen. Vice President Dick Cheney went before the Conservative Political Action Conference just yesterday as well, and he made it clear that he'd do it again.
Damn right. That's what he said. You're damn right. I'll do it again.
So here you have people saying they truly are above the law. And yes, there might be some emotional feeling of, oh, these are bad actors, or as we like to say, bad guys, and that for bad guys you can do whatever you want to them. That's kind of a vigilante Clint Eastwood kind of approach, I guess. But it's not what a civilized society does.
And Bob, there is this stunning and infuriating deference by the media on this issue. They continue to report, and they act as if there are two sides to this story. And they say that critics say that waterboarding is torture. And they permit the White House to now publicly argue that waterboarding is not torture. And that simply is not accurate, and they won't call them to task on that. And secondly, you know, we have this admission of lawbreaking, and we also know that individual cables were dispatched from Washington to authorize each of the procedures that were used, at least on these three suspects, KSM, Zubaida, and a third man. And nobody's asking to see the cables. Dick Durbin is appropriately offended by this and wants to pursue criminal charges. The Attorney General will cooperate. And I'm not hearing that the Democrats are going to do any more to try to expose this.
Well, there is some point, and one would hope that it was long ago reached, when Congress would say, if you're not going to cooperate in any way with our legitimate inquiries, you're going to stiff us on requests for documents, you're going to refuse to take reasonable actions, like have a special counsel look at something, that what the administration is saying is your only option is to impeach us. But since House Speaker Pelosi has taken impeachment off the table, and Congressman Conyers, who is the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, made it clear he's not going there.
And Waxman's in tune with that?
So all the people that would be in a position to bring some accountability have voluntarily, unilaterally surrendered on the issue,
mm-hmm.
and they basically are inviting the administration to tell them to get lost, and the administration's telling them to get lost.
Well, and the administration now feels sufficiently safe that they're conducting this in public. Before, they were kind of using back-channel methods and destroying videotapes, and now, they're saying, yeah, we did it, so what?
Right, they're daring the Democrats to actually stand up for the law. And I must say that I'm not a big fan of the Washington Post. The Washington Post was a big factor in helping us get into the Iraq War. It mindlessly followed what the White House was saying and has kind of a neoconservative bent these days. But even the Washington Post on its editorial page today denounced waterboarding and denounced the position that Mukasey had staked out. It's a bit late. Certainly that Mukasey could have been stopped before he was confirmed. A lot of this was known before the confirmation went through. But again, Senator Feinstein and other Democrats joined in and allowed Mukasey to get through, even though most Democrats opposed him. But they made sure there were enough Democrats throwing the vote, so Mukasey got through, even though he was even then refusing to accept the obvious that waterboarding was torture and making it clear he would not pursue this. He was chosen because he's always taken a position as a judge before this,
mm-hmm.
Very much against civil rights when it comes to the war on terror.
And the two senators responsible for getting his nomination out of committee are Dianne Feinstein and Charles Schumer.
Right.
Alleged Democrats. We're going to take a break and return with Robert Perry. Visit his website, consortiumnews.com. There's a lot of great information. And if you buy a copy of the book, Neck Deep, it'll help support their reporting efforts. 888-5, Peter B., if you have a comment, bring it on now. 888-573-8372. You've got the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious.
Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale with 2 hours of talk radio all about our daily challenges, our fears, changes, crisis, addictions.
Over 1,700 of them, can you believe it? Using the 12 steps, the law of attraction, whatever it takes. Join me Saturday afternoons 3 to 5 with my guests and we'll find solutions together. The Sheila Show, Saturday 3 to 5 on KRXA, brought to you by Benji's Princess Monterey Whale Watching Trips. Open daily on Old Fisherman's Wharf, Monterey.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Karma Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid-Karma Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Karma Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid-Karma Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Karma Shell at Rio Road and Mid-Karma Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
Do you want some downtime? A break from work and worry without breaking the bank? At the Dunes and the Spa at Pajaro Dunes in Watsonville will give you the breathing space you need. The Spa at Pajaro Dunes is now open to the general public. Spend an hour being pampered with a warm stone massage or European facial. Gather your friends together for a spa party or surprise your sweetie with a couples massage. Stay for a long, lazy weekend in a luxurious condo at the Dunes with 150 acres of beach and wetlands. You'll have your own ocean view and the price is unbeatable. Only a short drive from anywhere on the Central Coast, relief is only minutes away without the time and expense of a long trip. We'll also simplify your wedding plans. Have your ceremony, guests, and special events all in the same place. In nearby Watsonville, at the Dunes and the Spa at Pajaro Dunes will make your life a little easier and a lot more enjoyable. Call 888-91-DUNES and mention KRXA to get our lowest rates. That's 888-91-DUNES.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following The Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after The Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're visiting with Robert Perry, who publishes at consortiumnews.com. And one of the stories that was treated with an excerpt from the Neck Deep book that Bob recently published with his two sons, and also a commentary from Ray McGovern, covered the event of this past week that the mainstream media overlooked. We had Super Tuesday and Fat Tuesday. I can understand they were distracting. But Tuesday was the fifth anniversary of Colin Powell's false testimony, the lies he delivered to the United Nations, paving the way for our invasion of Iraq.
Saddam Hussein has used these horrific weapons on another country and on his own people.
Colin Powell spoke of thousands of liters of anthrax that were unaccounted for.
That's Scott Ritter.
He said they're probably hiding it. And then he held up a little vial of white powder. And he said, a couple teaspoonfuls of white powder like this, if launched against American cities, could kill thousands of Americans. If he was truly to reflect the Iraqi capability, he would have held up a bottle of Diet Coke and said the Iraqis produced anthrax that looked like this. It has a shelf life of 3 years. The last known production batch came out in 1991, so even if Iraq was hiding this brown sludge liquid, it would be useless today.
It was Scott Ritter's testimony and an interview that I did with him before we went into Iraq that really convinced me that the administration was lying. Robert Perry, what does that fifth anniversary of Powell's speech at the UN mean to you?
Well, it means that if the American people don't know the real story about the individuals as well as the history, the broader history, they can be easily misled. People believe that Colin Powell was a straight shooter, that he was a man of integrity, that he was a person who would put country ahead of self. That wasn't true with Colin Powell. And a piece that we did at Consortium News back in the 90s even went back through his history, went back through his career from his days in Vietnam through to through the first Persian Gulf War, and looked at him and showed that at each key moment in his career, instead of doing the right thing that would serve the American people, he did what served his bureaucratic masters. And that often included covering up wrongdoing, engaging in wrongdoing. He had a peripheral role in covering up the My Lai massacre back in when he was a young officer in Vietnam,
right,
which was exactly what his superiors wanted to hear, that there was nothing to it. It turned out, of course, later that other brave American soldiers brought it forward and got the truth out. Similarly, when we got to during the Iran-Contra scandal, he was a key action figure inside the Pentagon, getting those missiles off to Iran in very questionable legal circumstances, which he knew was questionable, but he did it for his masters. That's what he's always done. And so if you look at his real record, not his press clippings, but his true history, you would not have been surprised that he was misleading people at the UN on February 5th, 2003.
And, Bob, just about 2 minutes remaining, I wanted to shift to a column that you posted on February 4th posing the question, where would Obama take the nation? And you focus in on a comment he made in the Hollywood debate, which I regard as one of the most useful debates that we've seen in this protracted presidential primary season. And one of the things he said was that he wants to change the mindset that led us into Iraq, not just getting us out of Iraq. He said, I don't want to just end the war. I want to end the mindset that got us into war in the first place. And a thread or a meme that has been kind of constant in many of your stories recently is a concern that I share, that the Democrats are going to give a free pass to the lawbreaking of the Bush administration. And should they win the White House and both houses on the Hill next year, that they'll talk about moving forward and letting bygones be bygones. And it's not a matter of being unwilling to forgive, but I can't forgive people who haven't acknowledged the wrongful deeds that they've committed. And so what is your take? Do you think Obama does offer us some hope that there will be accountability for the law-breaking and the constitutional violations by the Bush administration?
Well, I'm not sure you can really count on Obama or any Democrat to be a very aggressive in getting at the truth. That certainly has not been the history of the Democratic Party over the years I've covered them. But I do think Obama has some strong points. He was a constitutional scholar, and in that piece I go through his views on the Constitution. And he has a very subtle, realistic understanding of what the Constitution's about. It's a very respectful, complicated, but smart view of the Constitution, which has certainly been lacking the last 7 years. I do think also he was not party to the actual decision to go into Iraq. Hillary Clinton clearly was. And she stayed very much on board with that, really almost at the beginning of the 2008 campaign, when she started switching over to put herself in line with the rank and file Democrats. So I think there is some promise with Obama, but still I wouldn't really be holding out a tremendous amount of hope.
Well, and I think in future interviews and debates, we need to get him to talk about that. I also want to hear both candidates promise that we'll put a real liberal on the Supreme Court, not just, another centrist, but we have to balance the court after it's been packed by the right wing. Bob Perry, thanks for joining us today. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you, Peter.
Robert Perry, ConsortiumNews.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network. Remember LPs, the long playing records that revolved at 33 and a third RPM? Remember the vinyl ones? Audiophiles loved those, and still do. Believe it or not, they're making a comeback of sorts. Amazon.com has inaugurated a vinyl-only website. Kids, of course, think of it as ancient history.
If something really old and plays music, they were so huge because in those days, CDs hadn't been invented, and this is kind of what it was. When you play it, it sings music out.
It's a record.
You got it, kid. Back to the Future after this.
With five times the selection, Jared is where to go for diamond jewelry this Valentine's Day.
That's Jared!
Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry, has literally hundreds of diamond bracelets, earrings, necklaces, and rings to choose from. Diamond solitaire earrings are always a great choice. At Jared, their extensive selection is priced from under $50 to $8,500 and includes their incredibly beautiful certified colorless diamonds.
It can only be Jared!
Visit Jared.com to find the location most convenient for you.
Vitamin A here, letting you know that in Centrum Silver, we vitamins and minerals help protect people's health.
And how do we help protect people's health?
Zinc? By building giant bubble communities that people can safely live in.
No, Zinc.
We help protect people's health by working together, like CNE supporting natural cell repair.
Your idea of bubble communities? That was shot down.
Oh.
Age-adjusted Centrum Silver. Working better together.
From A to Zinc.
Once upon a time, there were vinyl LPs.
You put it on this kind of machine, and then it goes round and round. In the old ages, they used this instead of a DVD player.
In the old ages, the 1960s, vinyl was king. And the king was on vinyl, pressed by Rainbow Records, where Steve Sheldon worked.
The busiest period for Rainbow was 1977, when Elvis died. Within 3 days of his death, we had booked about 1.5 million records to be pressed. Our capacity at that time was 60,000 pieces a day.
It's nowhere near that number now. But for our TV broadcast this Sunday morning, Talia Asuris looks into the vinyl revival and finds out why some people say the music just sounds better.
It's smooth, right? It's a groove. Whereas a CD takes music, audio, chops it up, and it's done in little packets of data. And the trick was is that you listen to it at, if the data is quick enough, your ear makes up for the difference. Theoretically, they scientifically have proven that we can't hear the difference, but there is something different.
Thought to ask this question.
Will vinyl ever die?
No, absolutely not. It's too wonderful of a medium.
With this and other stories, I'll see you on the television come Sunday morning. This is Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Aloha, I'm Jay.
And I'm Ginger.
And we would like to invite you to our family restaurant at Pizza Paradise, serving the biggest, best, and boldest pizzas from our Marina location at 215 Reservation Road. It's in the Marina Village Shopping Center across from Wells Fargo Bank. Try one of our specialty pizzas like the Ginger's Island Paradise, or for the meat lovers, a Meet Me in Paradise. We're open Tuesday through Sunday and offer a banquet room for up to 80 people. We deliver to Marina and CSUMB.
Call 582-9149.
It's a Pizza Paradise.
That's 582-9149.
Tomorrow Matters, the premier local radio program for matching the global problems of today with the solutions for a better tomorrow. Hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay, Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. I'll bring in the guests and you call in with your questions and ideas. And we'll collectively work to set the standards for a more sustainable future. And we're doing it five times a week. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, right here on KRXA 540 a.m. for Tomorrow Matters. Weekdays at 2, because for all of us, tomorrow really matters.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Presidential elections are planned distractions to divert attention from the action behind the scenes. Like a game of chess when the house is a mess, or a petty money squabble when your marriage is in trouble, or a football game when there's rioting in the streets. It's just another movie, another song and dance, another poor sucker who never had a chance. It's just another captain going down with the ship. Just another jerk taking pride in his work.
Well, we survived Super Tuesday. Or did we? Do you have lingering questions about the primary process you just participated in? How do we wind up with a Super Tuesday with 22 states doing Democratic caucuses or primaries, 23 or 24 states doing Republican primary activities? And is there a better way to do it? Well, we turn to somebody who knows more than I do to get some answers on this. Thomas Gungali has published a new book, it's just out, called From the Primaries to the Polls, How to Repair America's Broken Presidential Nomination Process. And, gosh, we should allow about a day and a half for this, right, Tom?
A day and a half for the whole process from beginning to end?
No, for our discussion about it.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I could go on about it for a long time. There's a lot of details to discuss.
Well, tell us about how we got to where we are, because as you point out in the book in your first section, you talk about the history. And let's focus primarily on the Democratic Party. That's what my listeners are most interested in, and the Republican contest is pretty well over now. So we had smoke-filled rooms that brought us JFK and LBJ. And by the time we saw people getting active around the issues of the Vietnam War and the anti-war candidacies that surfaced starting with
McCarthy.
McCarthy, thank you.
Yeah.
And then George McGovern. There were a lot of challenges to the process by which delegates are selected to the presidential nominating convention of the Democrats. And 1972 was kind of a flashpoint. I remember California's former speaker and former mayor of San Francisco, Willie Brown, led a challenge to the way delegates were selected and seated at that 72 convention. And George McGovern himself was the architect of one of the early reform committees or processes. So give us a quick sketch, Tom, of how we got to where we are.
Yeah, that's pretty much correct. Out of 1968, when Gene McCarthy and then Bobby Kennedy challenged LBJ, and you know, most Democrats clearly wanted the war stopped. After Bobby Kennedy's assassination, Hubert Humphrey ended up with the nomination,
mm-hmm.
and he was going to continue the war, and that was just unacceptable and to most grassroots Democrats. And of course, there were the riots in Chicago. And at that point, the party leaders realized we have to have a better way of doing this so that we're more responsive to the grassroots of our party. And so they tapped George McGovern to head a commission to study how they could change the process and make it more inclusive of the grassroots. And that was the McGovern and later Frazier headed it when McGovern stepped out of the commission to run for president.
Mm-hmm.
It was called the McGovern-Frazier Commission. They recommended a shift away from caucuses and conventions towards more primaries, which, you know, there was a steady shift towards primaries after that was pretty much complete by the late 70s, early 80s. The downside of that was, and no one expected this, was that the media driving of the process that happened after that. The media didn't really cover caucuses and conventions that much, with the exception of Iowa because it was first. You know, you typically have precinct caucuses, and then you have district-level caucuses, and then you have conventions. And it's a long process. It takes several months.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with primaries, it's a single-day event. It's very easy to cover. And the media can report a result within a few minutes or a few hours. So they love to cover primaries.
Mm-hmm.
And because it is such a media circus, it creates this feeling of momentum. Well, a candidate has racked up so many wins in primaries, and he's got momentum now.
Mm-hmm.
So the candidates started focusing on the earliest primaries so they could get that momentum and get the feeling out there, hey, this is a winner. We ought to back him. The states were not dumb either. They realized, hey, if we move our primaries up early in the process, we're going to get more attention from the candidates and the media. And that means that more money will be spent in our states. And in some of the earliest states, like New Hampshire, it's become a full-blown industry.
Yeah, it's a stimulus package.
Exactly. It's vital to their economy. It's called the political tourism industry. So, we've had this process snowballing for several decades now as more and more states are moving earlier and earlier and earlier. And the two political parties have tried to put some restraint on it in terms of protecting a few early states like Iowa and New Hampshire and not allowing other states to move into that pre-window. Now, we saw this year that Michigan and Florida broke the rules and got punished for it.
Maybe.
Yeah. The jury's still out on that.
If Howard Dean is successful in getting new elections or a caucus process in Florida and Michigan, I think it's kind of stinky. I mean, I didn't support their exclusion, but those are the rules that have been laid down, and to bend them now when it's clear that one candidate would likely benefit more than the other, I think would be a real prevarication.
Yeah, I mean, you set up the rules at the beginning of the game, and you don't change the rules in the middle of the game. That's just not a good thing to do.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Tom Gengale, G-A-N-G-A-L-E. His new book is just out. It's called From the Primaries to the Polls. And if you have any questions right now about the way our primary was conducted, the allocation of the delegates, feel free to give us a call right now. It's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Now, Tom, I'm a pretty well-informed guy. I follow the political process. I've worked on campaigns. I thought I knew the nuts and bolts of this process. But because California has not been a factor in presidential nominations going back a long ways, I think since before I got here.
Maybe 1976 was the last time we really mattered.
Yeah. Well, I actually got here in late 76, so I didn't get to vote in that primary.
Uh-huh.
For me, it came as a surprise, as I read in the newspapers in the days before the primary, the actual rules about allocation of delegates. And so the popular vote had less to do with the assignment of delegates than which gerrymandered congressional district a particular candidate won, and thus got either an apportion of four or five delegates attributed to that congressional district. And so the allocation of delegates doesn't really mirror the percentages of the popular vote.
Yeah, that's right. And there's also the 15% threshold.
Mm-hmm.
A candidate falling below that threshold gets no delegates at all.
Well, and many people were completely unaware of superdelegates until maybe a week before our primary.
Mm-hmm. About one-fifth of the total delegates to the Democratic National Convention are superdelegates. They're not voted for. They're the party elites, the party leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a mechanism for the party hierarchy to maintain some control over the outcome.
Yes, indeed.
And it's anti-democratic.
Right. And this year it appears that they will favor Hillary Clinton because of their insider status and the way that Bill Clinton doled out ambassadorships and other appointments over the years. One person I talked to from New Hampshire said that there are a whole lot of ambassadors who got picked by Bill Clinton who live in New Hampshire, and they were certainly front and center in the primary this year supporting Hillary.
Exactly. Yeah, this is really an echo of the smoke-filled room era.
Mm-hmm. So what else do you see? Because we'll take a break in a couple of minutes, and then I want to give you a few minutes to describe the American plan, which is a set of your ideas for reforming the primary process. But in addition to what I've touched on here related to California, what are some of the other anomalies or issues that you would like to address in trying to make the primary process more responsive to the average American and more accessible to more candidates, not necessarily those with the biggest fundraising roles?
Yeah, the process we have now with so many contests happening so early forces candidates to raise tens and even $100 million or more before the first vote is even cast. And that's just prohibitive as a barrier to most candidacies. What you see is you may start out with a dozen people that say they want to run, and by December of the year before the election, people are already starting to drop out because they look at the money and it's, you know, they just don't see any hope of being able to compete.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that the voters have fewer choices. And the further are you are down the line as far as your state and the calendar, the fewer choices you end up with. Whereas, you know, in California this week, we really just came down to two choices. And, you know, a lot of people cast absentee ballots for people that were no longer in the race,
right,
as it turned out.
Yeah. Well, I talked to somebody who had just made a contribution to John Edwards the night before he announced he was suspending his campaign.
Yeah, I ended up casting my ballot and mailing it, and then an hour later finding out that he had dropped out.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And what about in other states? Are there any glaring issues either related to caucuses or primaries that you think need to be addressed?
Well, every state has its own rules, so it's a very, very complicated subject to look into. And in the Republican Party, you still have some states that are winner-take-all. The Democratic Party did away with those as part of the McGovern-Frazier reforms.
Mm-hmm.
So, the formulas vary from state to state, and it's very arcane.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then one other thing before we take our break, and then we'll come back and talk about the American plan, and that is the role of the media. Because you could set up the perfect primary system, but if we have corporate media that make arbitrary decisions about which candidates can participate in the free televised debates and which ones can't, they control the amount of coverage that individual candidates get, and we've seen wide disparities, even between Clinton, Obama, and compare that to Edwards. Edwards was seen as the, you know, most viable of the top-tier contenders, aside from Obama and Clinton. Yet in the last month before he withdrew, he was getting about one-third of the media coverage of the other two, and that was on a good day.
Mm-hmm. And I think that reflects the money calculation. You just count up the amount of dollars that the candidates have in their campaign coffers as of December 31st, and you can pretty much pick the winner, pick the nominee. That's been a historical fact since at least 1980.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the media looks at that and they say, this guy's not viable. They make that decision for us.
Well, and also I saw Tim Russert kind of shooting skeet on several occasions where he would ask embarrassing questions, but only of the marginal candidates. He asked, Mike Gravel about a bankruptcy. He asked Dennis Kucinich about UFOs. But we didn't see that same kind of gotcha stuff with the presumed front runners. And I just think that's offensive, and it's a real departure from, say, 20 years ago, when our media was, if dull and retiring, was at least fair. And these forums were run by the League of Women Voters, and there were rules that required equal time for the candidates, regardless of how much money they raised or what their standing was in the polls at that moment. We're going to take a break. Tom Gangalle, G-A-N-G-A-L-E, is our guest. His new book is a great look at the primary system, very detailed, and it has the proposals for how to fix it. It's called From the Primaries to the Polls, How to Repair America's Broken Presidential Nomination Process. More in a moment, straight ahead on the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
More and more troops and veterans of Iraq believe George Bush's military policy has been a disaster. I am one of them. Rush Limbaugh called vets like me phony soldiers for telling the truth about Iraq. Rush, the shrapnel I took to my head was real. My traumatic brain injury was real. And my belief that we are on the wrong course in Iraq is real. Until you have the guts to call me a phony soldier to my face, stop telling lies about my service.
Hi there, KRXA listeners. This is Hal on behalf of the Central Avenue Bakery. Tina and her staff want to thank all of you for becoming regulars at the Central Avenue Bakery at 173 Central Avenue in beautiful Pacific Grove. February is a special month at the Central Avenue Bakery as they celebrate Valentine's Day with an Italian buffet and a free glass of wine with every dinner. Space is limited, so make your reservations for Valentine's Day now. Then, at the end of February, Central Avenue Bakery celebrates its third anniversary with live music, free food, and prizes. Enjoy organic foods, pastries, and coffee. They also have a gluten-free menu and many organic gluten-free pastries. Stop by one of my favorite restaurants, the Central Avenue Bakery in Pacific Grove, today.
There's more than one side to every issue. Actually, there's usually more than two sides. It's important to get a different perspective on issues and current events, and that's what we'll try to provide you on Thursday nights at 10 on KRXA 540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your co-host, along with Mark Leonard. We try to look at current issues from a unique angle and invite our listeners to call in and bring their own different perspective on contemporary affairs. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for A Different Perspective here on KRXA 540.
I love coffee. I love tea. That's why Coffeetopia's the place for me. Coffee and tea, the honey and me. At Coffeetopia.
Coffeetopia at 1723 Mission Street and 3701 Portola Drive in Santa Cruz offers the finest in handcrafted espresso drinks, whether it's a traditional Italian-style cappuccino or a sweet caramel macchiato. We offer a range of full-leaf teas, a choice of chais, including our new Zawadi African chai, and organic coffees. Coffeetopia also carries local baked goods fresh daily, including French-style pastries. Or try a toasted bagel with one of our exclusive non-dairy bagel spreads, either garlic dill or smoked tofu. Coffeetopia, Santa Cruz's oldest internet cafe, offers both free wireless and computer terminals for those who need them. Coffeetopia. Remember, we're here to help.
At Coffee, Coffee, Coffeetopia.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Time to get the party started, huh? Well, the primary is a good way to do it, I guess. The book is called From the Primaries to the Polls, How to Repair America's Broken Presidential Nomination Process. Thomas Gangalli is our guest. And, Tom, did you see Alexandra Pelosi's book and film about the 2004 primary process called Diary of a Political Tourist?
No, I haven't seen that yet.
Okay, well, I recommend it to you. It was an HBO documentary that aired after the 2004 election. I think it was in the summer of 2005. And then there was a companion book to it. And it's a fascinating look at just the ridiculousness of the Iowa caucuses and the New Hampshire first-in-the-nation primaries and just how skewed they are in terms of representing the diversity of America's population. But let's talk about what you call the American plan. Give us a quick summary of how you would fix the primary process if we put you in charge of it.
Okay. We really need to go back to the future, to 1976, which was the first year that the McGovern-Frazier reforms were fully in place for both parties. We had a much more relaxed schedule then, where we had just a few small states starting out the process, Iowa, then New Hampshire, then a few weeks later it was a few more states. And the larger contests with a lot of states going on the same days or in the same weeks happened much later in the process. I just don't think it ought to be Iowa and New Hampshire all the time. I think we ought to mix it up so that other states can go first. But we really need to preserve the concept of retail politicking so that a Dennis Kucinich or another candidate like that that doesn't start out with a lot of money has a fair shot at getting his message out.
Mm-hmm.
He can basically go door to door and sell his ideas. So what my plan does is you start out with the two building blocks in our federal system of government, the states and the congressional districts. The American plan is based on the number of congressional districts in each state. Another key concept in the plan is a mathematical progression using multiples of 8. So you have 8, then 16, then 24, all the way up to the 10th term in that interval, which is 80. And that, when you add all that up, that equals all the congressional districts across the nation.
Mm-hmm.
And the third concept is a random selection, a lottery. So if you put all these concepts together, for the first of the 10 rounds, the American plan would randomly select a combination of states that have a total of 8 congressional districts.
Mm-hmm.
For example, you could have South Carolina, which has 6, plus New Hampshire, which have 2. Or you could have Maryland, which by itself has 8. But these would be randomly selected.
Okay.
The second round, you'd have a random combination of states with a total of 16 districts. In the third round, it would be 24. And so on, all the way up to the 10th round, where you have a total of 80.
Mm-hmm. Now, California has gotten a taste of moving its primary up, being front-loaded with all these other states, but a sense that we got more attention from the candidates than just fundraising this year. Isn't it going to be hard to persuade the states that enjoy their status to really adopt a system that is as fair and balanced as what you're proposing?
Yeah, it's going to be very difficult, especially with Iowa and New Hampshire. I think New Hampshire would rather secede from the union than give up their first in the nation of status.
Live free and have the first primary or die.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, the parties really need to be disciplined about this, and they need to impose some discipline on these states.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones that decide how many delegates from each state come to the national conventions.
And Tom Gangalli, would you say that the biggest obstacle that you will face is that any people who are motivated to reform are going to want to try to fix what they think went wrong in the 2008 cycle and will kind of overlook the bigger issues and the long-term focus that you have in trying to make this more fair for every American?
Well, we saw that a few years ago in the Herman Price Commission in the Democratic Party, where they this was in 2005, right after Kerry lost the election. They said, "How can we fix the process for 2008?" And that really constrained the number of options that they looked at, because they couldn't reach out to the Republican Party to do some sort of a deal where both parties would implement the same reform, because the Republicans have to ratify the changes 4 years in the future at their national convention. So the Republicans can't do anything about, the last chance that the Republicans would have to do anything to change 2012 would be at their national convention this September.
Mm-hmm.
So the parties have to get in sync to take this leap of faith together and fix the system for the benefit of both parties.
So do you think we'll have some reform by 2012, and will it take the form of your American plan?
Well, the Republican National Committee's Rules Committee met last month, and they looked at 8 reform plans. The American plan was one of them. The problem is that the Democratic Party's Rules Committee hasn't scheduled any similar meetings. So the Republican train is moving, and they are moving towards recommending a reform to the convention floor in September.
Hmm.
So it's time for the Democrats to start their process moving in parallel so that the two parties can talk to each other.
All right. Well, Tom, thank you for joining us today. Is there a website you want to direct our listeners to?
AmericanPlan.org.
AmericanPlan.org. The book is From the Primaries to the Polls, How to Repair America's Broken Presidential Nomination Process. Our thanks to Thomas Gangalli. Thanks, Tom.
Thanks, Peter, for having me on again.
My pleasure. Good to talk with you. Coming up next, Matthew Rothschild from The Progressive. There's a new Homeland Security program. Are you in it?
We're talking again with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, I just gave you a nice little chocolate raspberry treat. Can I drink wine and eat chocolate at the same time? Is there a rule against that? Is there a law in France that says I can't?
No, on the to the contrary, my girlfriends and I sometimes get together and have a treat of chocolate with one absolutely scrumptious wine that we have, which is called Cartagène, which is, again, something that people make in the south of France pretty much for the family. It's a treat, and they pull it out when you go visit them. You know how farmers are and people are close to the land, and they pull out the thing that they've made and they've kept in their cellar, and the foie gras and the special sausage and all this, and they sit around and they share this little treat with them. It's like communion.
Find out more about organic wines at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. Order by phone toll-free at 888-ECO-WINE. Mention Peter B. Collins and see what happens.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Sugar dust may have caused the deadly blast near Savannah.
It has sparked fires in food plants before, including several sugar refineries.
President Bush in the tornado zone.
We want the folks to know that there is help from the federal government, but there's also going to be a lot of help from loving neighbors.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. 24 hours after a huge explosion at the Imperial Sugar Refinery, the disaster in Fort Wentworth, Georgia, is still unfolding. CBS News correspondent Kelly Cobiella is there.
The fire burned all night and into the afternoon, even as rescuers pulled four bodies from the debris.
It really looks like a small war zone in there.
They're still looking for as many as four workers, including Janae Williams' uncle.
Just pray that everybody's going to make it out safe and sound.
While the search continues, state and federal fire investigators are already looking for a cause, focusing on a storage silo holding refined sugar for packaging and highly combustible dust.
More than 30 workers are hospitalized, many of them critically burned. Now this.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents a word from your tires.
Sir, I think I speak for the four of us when I say that we do not support your current errand.
Well, we're going to the tire store. You got your tires.
Head to the dealership.
Well, at the tire store, you can see your buddies.
We don't associate with off-brands. Your dealer has name brands. Michelin, Continental, Goodyear.
Enough.
I don't think they carry that one.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service. Come in, keep going.
Valentine's Day's always been special for me and my baby girl. Over the years, we've shared many a candy heart together. And even though she's grown and on her own, my wife and I still like to get her a little something each year. That's my job. So I always go to Walmart. I know they have a favorite candy like Russell Stover and Nestle and those Dove chocolate hearts. Plus, I can pick out some fresh flowers and a card. So even though I got a late start this year, thanks to Walmart, we were right on time to show our baby love on Valentine's Day. Walmart. Save money. Live better.
President Bush saw for himself today. He visited Macon County, Tennessee, which suffered the heaviest death toll in Tuesday's tornadoes. He walked to one home left standing to comfort survivors.
I hope a couple of things become evident to you. One, there's a lot of people who care about you. Total strangers showing up here in this community to help you get back on your feet. And the government has got a role to play.
He's already issued disaster declarations, making federal funds available in Tennessee and Arkansas. The destruction in Middle Tennessee is overwhelming. A word picture from CBS News correspondent Jim Crisula.
The debris-strewn remains of what was the Castilian Springs post office sit in a gully here along State Highway 25. Splintered building materials, mangled and bent heavy metal doors, piles of soggy phone books waiting for delivery, a bright gold mailbox key, and amazingly, pieces of mail in overnight delivery envelopes, which somehow stayed relatively put in the tornado's fury. Jim Crisula, CBS News, Castilian Springs, Tennessee.
Before he left Washington today, the president addressed the conservative gathering that heard from Mitt Romney and John McCain yesterday and will hear from Mike Huckabee tomorrow, without mentioning names. The Republican Party will soon have a nominee carrying the conservative banner. In Kansas, for tomorrow's caucuses, McCain pledged to mend fences with his former rival.
Governor Romney and I are committed to uniting this party and winning the election in November. We will work together.
Look at this crowd. I'm fired up.
Barack Obama appeared before an overflow crowd at Seattle's basketball arena in advance of tomorrow's caucuses in Washington State. Hillary Clinton emphasized health care at an event with thousands of nurses in Tacoma. There are also contests tomorrow in Louisiana, Nebraska, and the Virgin Islands. There was gunfire on another American campus today, Louisiana Technical College in Baton Rouge. This morning, a police spokesman says an officer heard shots coming from a classroom.
Once the officer got to the scene, the initial officer, he found three gunshot wound victims, all apparently deceased, inside the classroom. It appears that one of the deceased is the actual shooter.
She was a nursing student who apparently killed two other young women before taking her own life. Motive unknown. Defense Secretary Robert Gates flew to Munich today, hoping to persuade NATO allies to commit more combat troops to Afghanistan.
Many of them, I think, have a problem with our involvement in Iraq and project that to Afghanistan and don't understand the very different, for them, the very different kind of threat.
France has refused to deploy combat units, but now says it's reconsidering. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Hi. I'm David Orrick, and I'm introducing an amazing new technology for turning bad air into good air. And only Orrick has it. It's my new professional air purifier with a revolutionary Truman cell. It's so advanced, it can even capture volatile organic compounds that are known carcinogens. To try the purest of air purifiers risk-free, call 1-800-989-4200. That's 1-800-989-4200.
Attention, Kmart shoppers. Mr. Blue Light here with Greg. And Greg, what are you going to get your girlfriend for Valentine's Day?
Absolutely nothing.
Nothing?
Yeah, she said she didn't want anything. She's cool like that.
Oh, no. Greg, what she means by that is that she wants you to surprise her with something from the heart.
Oh, dear.
This Valentine's Day, Kmart's Best of Blue is filled with items she'll love, like diamond earrings, pajama sets, or a beautiful journey pendant.
Wait, so when I call home and she tells me to stay out with my buddies, that means...
Come home now.
No way.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Coming up in just a moment, we'll be joined by Matthew Rothschild from The Progressive. And he's got an alarming story about a new project of the FBI and Homeland Security. It's called InfraGuard. And you're the infra. Also this hour, an update on the battle between the whales and the Navy, and the whales are winning. Big setback for the Bush administration. Kara Horowitz from the National Resources Defense Council joins us in about 30 minutes. And before we get started with Matthew Rothschild, I'd like to assign you a homework assignment for the weekend. Take you about 5 minutes. I'd like you to visit my website, www.peterbcollins.com. And right there on the homepage, you'll see it prominently on a button on the left. It's marked the Peter B. Challenge. And I'd like you to take a look at it, because we'll be talking about it on Monday. And it relates to the future viability of this program, some of our affiliate radio stations, and progressive talk radio in general. So I hope you'll take a look, and I certainly hope you will respond to the call to action. That's peterbcollins.com. Look for the button marked the Peter B. Challenge. And we'll see if you're up to it. Well, I know a big story has broken when I log on to my email in the morning, and multiple sources are sending me the same story. It happened today, and the author of that story joins us to tell you about this important, exclusive report about how Americans are being monitored by other Americans. Ah, but don't you feel safer already, huh?
guys dressed in black. Remember that, just in case we ever face to face and make contact. The title held by me, MIB, means what you think you saw, you did not see. So don't break me, what was dead is now gone. Black suit with the black Ray Bans on. Walk in shadow, move in silence. Guard against extraterrestrial violence. But yo, we ain't on no government list. We straight, don't exist, no names and no fingerprints. Saw something strange, watch your back. Cause you never quite know where the MIBs is at.
Matthew Rothschild is editor of the Progressive magazine on the web at progressive.org. His most recent book is called You Have No Rights, Stories of America in an Age of Repression. Matt, welcome back to the show.
Peter B., thanks for having me back.
Well, it's my pleasure, and I think this is important information that our listeners need to know about. And tell me, first of all, did this surface from the website where you have people submit stories of repression in America today?
No, actually, it came from a guy I know, a friend of mine in the media, who knew I was covering these kinds of stories about civil liberties infringements.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I had just posted something on our website about that national security directive that Bush had issued last May.
Yeah, number 51?
Yeah, number 51. In times of emergency, in that one, Bush assigns to himself the sole power to protect our Constitution, which is laughable given what he's done to our Constitution so far.
Yeah.
So I was talking to this guy, actually a radio guy on the air, and as soon as we got off, he said, you won't believe this, but I talked to a guy who says there's this group of business people working with the FBI, and these business people have the right to shoot to kill.
Mm.
And, you know, I'm a pretty skeptical, cynical journalist of 28 years here. And so it registered with me, but I said, come on, that can't be true.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just kind of shelved it for a few months, but then I started to research this organization called InfraGuard. True enough, there was such an organization. I met with this whistleblower. He showed me his InfraGuard card that was just as it is described by some of the heads of the organization of InfraGuard. He told me where this meeting occurred, where he had been given shoot-to-kill permission. That meeting actually did pan out where he said it was, and with the FBI and Homeland Security. And so, you know, the more I looked into it, the more it seemed to be true. And then I got a couple other people corroborating his accounts. And so I put this thing all together. Before I'd heard about this, I didn't even know that there was such an organization called InfraGuard, which is an FBI baby that has secret meetings with business people from every sector of the economy. To join InfraGuard, you've got to be first vetted by the FBI, and then, you know, there are little chapters all around the country.
And
six of them.
Do they bring in Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones to neuralize everybody at the end of a session?
Evidently. I mean, it's hard to crack these guys, and they get encrypted messages to the FBI and from the FBI about security threats, actually before the public ever gets to know about it. And in one case, out there in California, before Gray Davis was told by the FBI that there was a threat to bridges out in November 2001, he heard it from his brother, who was an InfraGuard member working at Morgan Stanley.
Wow. I mean, this is really, it has the footprints and the outlines of the kind of Gestapo tactics that I worried about when they named our domestic security operation Homeland Security. You and I have talked about this before. It just gives me chills every time I hear that word. And this is part and parcel of that mentality.
Yeah, this is real collusion between the private sector and the government, which is one of the hallmarks of traditional fascism. And I don't usually use the F word on radio, but this is a very scary kind of alliance. There is a predecessor to it, kind of a historical echo. There was such a thing called the American Protective League back in 1917, 18, and 19, where 250,000 business people were out essentially spying for the Bureau of Investigation, especially against the Wobblies, the radical union group. They would burglarize and vandalize and harass these radical elements, and they finally disbanded. But that was an alliance between business people and the precursor to the FBI. And here we have this thing. It actually is hidden in plain view. You can go to to www.infraguard.net, and that's the main site, and find out all about it.
Mm-hmm. Infraguard.net. I'm going to have to check that out. Matt Rothschild is with us from The Progressive, and this story is available at The Progressive's website, progressive.org. It's also up at truthout.org, and I've just seen it flying all over the web today, and I'm glad that people sense how significant this story is. Now, Matt, just one little tidbit going back a minute or two. You mentioned a radio guy who tipped you off, and unless he asked for anonymity, let's give him credit here. Who was it?
Oh, it was Lee Rayburn.
Oh, okay.
Lee Rayburn, who does some Air America pitch hitting when some of the hosts are off. He's got a local Madison talk show.
Yeah, he does the morning show in Madison, right?
Yeah, and he's a great guy, and
uh-huh.
He's a great radio guy. And so he was the one who put me onto the story.
Mm-hmm. Well, kudos to him. I'm really glad to hear that. Now, give our listeners a sense of 23,000 people, all part of, you know, corporate America, private industry. How are they selected by the FBI to participate in the InfraGuard program, Matt?
Well, that's a good question. And the group has just been mushrooming, and there were 1,700 members back in 2001, and now they're 23,000. It's like a little, secret men's club or Elks club or something. You've got to be invited by a current InfraGuard member. Then you need to be vetted by the FBI. You can see the application form you need to fill out at www.infraguard.net if you want to join. And they ask you what part of the infrastructure your company is involved with, whether it's banking or computers or chemical industry or energy or whatnot. And then they ask you whether you've ever been ever committed a crime or not, and if so, you know, please discuss what that crime was and what that situation was all about. And so basically someone's got to vouch for you. Then the FBI, you know, comes and interviews you or secretly interviews your friends and the business associates to see whether, you know, you get that InfraGuard card.
This is amazing. I just pulled up the website, InfraGuard. You got to put the W's in front for some reason, www.infraguard.net. And, learn more about InfraGuard, an information sharing and analysis effort serving the interests and combining the knowledge base of a wide range of members. InfraGuard is a partnership between the FBI and the private sector, an association of businesses, academic institutions, state and local law enforcement agencies, and other participants dedicated to sharing information and intelligence to prevent hostile acts against the United States. Now, this really is chilling, and I'm not afraid of the F word, Matt Rothschild. I'm only offended when it's used improperly to describe alleged Islamo-fascism, which is a totally bizarre use of the term. But fascism is the collusion of business and government, and this one is a very clear example of that. And, it appears that this has developed without any oversight from Congress, without any attempt to establish safeguards for our civil liberties. I mean, this really seems to be a rogue program.
It sure does. And, you know, they say, as one of the advertisements to their business members, that their involvement in InfraGuard is hidden even from the Freedom of Information Act, that the Freedom of Information Act can't be used by the public or by the media to figure out what's going on with this group. And this is very frightening to me, just as it is also frightening to me that, you know, there are meetings around the country of FBI and Homeland Security agents to small groups, sometimes, you know, 30 business people in a room at a fire department somewhere or some other organization, where they are telling people in the business community what is to be expected of them in times of an emergency. And everyone that I've talked to agrees that there have been emergency preparedness exercises involving InfraGuard members. And then the question is, you know, to what length do these members get to go? And my sources say they get to go real far, including using lethal force against people they suspect in times of an emergency to be tampering with their side of the infrastructure.
Well, and this is lethal force with immunity, as it's at least as it is described in the commentary from some of the sources that you cite in your article. We need to take a break, and we'll return in just a moment. If you have a question or a comment for Matt Rothschild, give us a call right now. Your call is subject to monitoring by the National Security Agency, looking for keywords like Osama, terror, explosives? You know, so be careful. That's what John Ashcroft would tell you. More in a moment. 888-5-PETER-B is my number. 888-573-8372. You can email me. That's subject to interception, too. Peter@PeterBCollins.com.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Make this the year you become personally acquainted with the May family and Jim's Restaurant at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.50 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Jim Moore Income Tax in Watsonville has been helping Monterey Bay Area residents with personal income tax preparation for more than 20 years. And this year, Manager Juan Gonzalez is prepared to assist all taxpayers take advantage of tax credits and rebates especially targeted for the eco-minded. The staff of Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in fast professional income tax preparation at a very reasonable price. Do you have a naughty tax problem? Let Juan Gonzalez and his staff provide the expert assistance you need. Jim Moore Income Tax is located at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just two blocks from the Central Plaza. This year, let Juan Gonzalez show you where the green is for green living taxpayers. Visit Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville. Be sure to take copies of your 2006 tax return and all of your 2007 W-2s and 1099s. Remember Jim Moore Income Tax for all of your tax preparation needs.
Slow down.
Hello, I'm Barbara Mossberg. You know you move too fast, and I'm inviting you to join me starting this Sunday to slow down for our poetry hour. Here's the lowdown on our poetry hoedown. Meet me at high noon and we'll make the morning last right here on KRXA 540.
Checking traffic on KRXA, and definitely quiet as we start things off on a Friday. Just one accident to tell you about. Monterey County, Highway 68 at Lorelis Grade Road. A bicyclist, apparently down CHP, is on the scene. No injuries, that's all off to the shoulder, and apparently no car involved in this. For Pebble Beach area, 17-mile drive at Palmero Way. The AT&T Pro-Am going on this weekend. That's going to cause significant delays in the area. Highway 17 going through the Santa Cruz Mountains. Currently checks in, stalling, accident-free. Highway 1, both directions through Monterey County, Santa Cruz County. No problems to tell you about. There is some road work. Ben Lohman, northbound 9 between Middle Road and Western Avenue. That does have the left lane shut down until the end of this month, so be prepared for delays there. Also in Santa Cruz, Highway 1 southbound from Market Street down to Morrissey Boulevard, you may see some delays there. They're still taking down the Brancy 40 Avenue overpass. This is brought to you by Carfax. A flood-damaged car is like a ticking time bomb. Nearly half of these flooded cars get fixed up and resold. Want to avoid them? Ask your dealer for a free Carfax vehicle history report or go to Carfax.com. That's traffic on KRXA.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. A shout out to our weekend listeners on KPOJ 620 in Portland, Oregon. And our newest listeners on KMPT 930 in Missoula, Montana. Hello. We continue with Matthew Rothschild from the Progressive Magazine. As I mentioned, his latest book is a great read, You Have No Rights, Stories of America in an Age of Repression. And Matt, we have some amazing listeners to this program, some call and some email. And this one is from Sean in Monterey. He posted it on the KRXA website about an hour ago. And he said, can you please talk about what you think can be done in the event Bush somehow declares martial law? Maybe the election goes Democratic, voting issues arise, there's a protest, he calls martial law. What would happen then? What does Peter think would happen to counter it or deal with it? Could Obama or Clinton do much if this were to be a reality? And what contingency plan should they have? What contingency plan should we have? Well, I'm going to defer to Matt. I think he has a little more knowledge on this. What would you tell our listener, Sean?
Well, Sean is raising a question that's been concerning me here for a couple years now, the possibility that the Bush administration would declare martial law. After all, Condoleezza Rice's deputy at the National Security Council, after 2001, a guy by the name of General Wayne Downing said, if we're attacked again, we're going to have to declare martial law. So this isn't just a stray concern. And what needs to happen is we've got to be active before Bush declares martial law. We've got to get our congresspeople to hold hearings on the possibility that Bush may declare martial law. And if it would come to that, or even before it comes to that, we need to really protest and demand that we still have a democracy in this country, because Bush has been taking it away. So, we need to have rallies to support our rights here before, you know, Bush pulls a stunt like that.
And what do you see as the worst case? Because people weave together the president's Executive Order 51, the reports that originated in the Progressive that, I think it was KBR, got a special contract to build detention camps in the United States, and we still don't know much about those, what the status of them is, or even where they're located. And there also has been an outreach to the religious right. And certain ministers have been attending conferences where they have been trained in what to do if martial law is declared.
Yeah, I mean, you can connect those dots, and it's a real scary picture emerges. I think what would happen is that if the United States were attacked again by terrorists, Bush would seize on that and cancel the elections and stay in power. Remember, 4 years ago, a lot of people forget this, 4 years ago, the Bush administration floated the idea of postponing the elections. The head of Homeland Security said he would, if there was an attack a week before the elections, he might have to call off the elections. Now, that was a trial balloon that went up and quickly went down, but, you know, you got to think these people in the Bush administration are planning for such a thing.
Sandra in Sacramento is listening on KSAC. Welcome, Sandra.
Hi, Matt, the question I have is, you talk about this, these people who have the ability to shoot to kill, based on whose authority, and if that's the case, as a citizen, you know, I have access to instruments to shoot back. I'm just, you know what I mean? I just think that, what are they talking about? They're gonna, what, just stop, be able to say, yell halt and shoot you? I mean, it just sounds...
Well, think Blackwater in Iraq.
Yes, I understand, but I just, you know, the whole thing just is beyond scary. I believe you, but why isn't this sort of widely known?
All right, Matt.
Well, Sandra, it is beyond scary, and I'm hoping that members of Congress will start holding hearings on this. I've sent a copy of this story to my Senator Russ Feingold, who's on both the Intelligence Committee and the Judiciary Committee in the Senate. You know, I do think we've got to investigate this. We've got to blow the cover off of this thing, and that's what I tried to do with my story here. What would happen is, if a situation, emergency situation is declared, or a martial law type situation is declared, these 23,000 InfraGuard members are essentially deputized by the FBI and by Homeland Security to use lethal force if they see someone, you know, coming up to their electric utility or up to their pipeline, and that they don't know the person, and they can just, you know.
So this is more sort of corporate sort of expansion of control? Or, I mean, just...
It's a kind of collusion. Sandra, I'm sorry I'm out of time. I appreciate the call. Cynthia wanted to know if you think there are similarities between this and the novel The Manhattan Hunt Club. I don't know the novel. Do you, Matt?
No, unfortunately, I don't know the novel.
Cynthia.
It may be similar to, you know, a bad Bruce Willis movie, but that's the only analogy I can think of.
Matthew, you've done it again. Thanks for breaking this story.
Peter B., thanks for having me on.
Appreciate you joining us, and we'll do what we can to get this out and get some reaction, get this thing rolled back. Good to talk with you, Matt.
Yeah, likewise.
Coming up next, we're going to talk about the whales versus the Navy. The whales are winning. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
John McCain. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Candidate Mitt Romney is out of the presidential race despite $40 million of his own money and the support of conservative talk radio. Conservative activists must now decide if they can support John McCain, a Republican who Democrats are so comfortable with that John Kerry wanted him as his vice president in 2004. So how come talk radio couldn't save Mitt Romney? I think because at some point Americans asked themselves, are we better off now than before right-wing radio hosts began telling politicians what to do? Remember 1994, when the no-compromise conservatives signed the contract with America? They talked about balanced budgets, tax cuts, less regulation, a strong military. The talk shows loved it. Well, balanced budgets? Since that Congress took over in 1995, the national debt has grown from $4.8 to $9.2 trillion. The only time it shrank was under Bill Clinton. Tax cuts? We've got federal tax cuts that just forced the states to raise their taxes to build the roads. Less regulation? We got Enron and Wild West mortgage brokers. Strong national defense? Well, I keep hearing that we're winning, except we're also told the army is stretched, equipment is in disrepair, and we're not ready for disasters at home. That's what the conservative, no-compromise talk radio agenda has achieved for America. Even conservative Americans are starting to wonder how well that no-compromise approach has been working. And that's what John McCain understands. Of course it's driving the talk shows nuts. Realizing after all these years that your ideas don't work, we'll do that.
Reason number 11 to switch to Geico. Man does not travel by four wheels alone. If you love scooters, you need to call Geico. Because now Geico offers insurance on all the stuff that moves you, including scooters. Great rates, great coverage, and personal service 24/7. Call anytime, 1-800-44-CYCLE, or visit geico.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Hi there, KRXA listeners. This is Hal on behalf of the Central Avenue Bakery. Tina and her staff want to thank all of you for becoming regulars at the Central Avenue Bakery at 173 Central Avenue in beautiful Pacific Grove. February is a special month at the Central Avenue Bakery as they celebrate Valentine's Day with an Italian buffet and a free glass of wine with every dinner. Space is limited, so make your reservations for Valentine's Day now. Then, at the end of February, Central Avenue Bakery celebrates its third anniversary with live music, free food, and prizes. Enjoy organic foods, pastries, and coffee. They also have a gluten-free menu and many organic gluten-free pastries. Stop by one of my favorite restaurants, the Central Avenue Bakery in Pacific Grove, today.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in Soquel Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive and Porter Street in Soquel.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
going to talk about the battle between the Navy and defenders of the whales. And in the update, the whales are winning. Federal courts have told the Bush administration you cannot conduct Navy sonar operations without consideration for the whales. And for our updated discussion, I'm actually prepared. I dug out my favorite song about whales from Country Joe McDonald. We're going to play a good portion of it for you here before we get started with the conversation.
When my grandpa was a boy, he went down to the general store, saw a picture book of a whale shooting its spout and flashing its tail. Then he got a sailor's dream about cruising around on a salty sea, joining up with a fishing crew to go out and get a whale or two. Tell me what kind of men are these that sail upon the salty seas, up in the rigging in the afternoon, swabbing the deck and sharpening harpoons. Hooray, up she rises. Hooray, up she rises. Hooray, up she rises. Early in the morning. For the industry, we drag them alongside and cut them in two, and melt them down and sell it to you. There hardly is a sailor alive who can keep the tears from his eyes as he remembers the good old days when there were no whales to save. Now we can thank the companies for scouring the deep blue seas, looking for ivory and perfume and oil to light your living rooms. Hooray, and up she rises.
Two interesting stories about whales in the news. A few weeks back, we hooked up with the ship's captain of a protest group that was dogging Japanese whaling ships in Antarctica. And in today's newspapers, there's an update. The Australian Customs, or the equivalent of their Coast Guard, has been out there monitoring the activities of the Japanese whaling ships. And there is a grisly photograph of a large whale and what appears to be a calf. They say it's just a smaller whale, dead, bleeding, and being dragged up a gangway onto this ship that will then process it and ship it to Japan, where whale meat is still considered a delicacy and quite popular.
Modern ship and a modern crew with sonar scopes and exploding harpoons and mechanical boats made out of steel, a floating machine built to kill the whales. Hooray, up she rises.
And the other story has to do with the U.S. Navy's desire to continue to use low-frequency sonar in areas where whales and other marine mammals are known to congregate or migrate. And joining us from the National Resources Defense Council once again is Kara Horowitz. Kara, thanks for talking with us today.
Hi, Peter. It's great to be back.
Well, and you're winning.
Well, we had a good week. I'll say that.
Well, but this is pretty amazing because this has been a protracted set of issues and you've been litigating it for a while. The White House intervened and Bush attempted a presidential order and the courts thumbed their collective noses at him.
Yeah, it was a very interesting development. I think last time I was on the program, we talked about how we had won early in January an order from a federal court down here in Los Angeles saying that the Navy had to take particular steps to protect whales in its sonar exercises off the coast of Southern California, especially because those exercises were planned for really key habitat for some whales, including some endangered species like blue whales. The White House, the Bush administration, responded by issuing purported waivers, again, purportedly allowing the Navy to go forward with the exercises as planned. And this week we got a ruling from the court that really wasn't buying it.
And this is U.S. Magistrate Elizabeth LaPorte here in San Francisco.
No, actually, that ruling, which came down Wednesday, is a Judge Florence Marie Cooper down in Los Angeles.
Oh, okay.
And she's the same judge that issued the original injunction. What mm-hmm. she said was, as we had argued to her, the president's attempted end run around Congress and federal environmental law as well as around the California Coastal Commission, which itself is suing the Navy over these same exercises, was illegal, and the court decided to restore what we see as the proper balance between the executive and the courts, and between national security and our coastal resources.
Okay.
So Judge Cooper decided that the waivers were unlawful.
And then it was the San Francisco magistrate, Elizabeth Laporte, who ruled that the Navy has to conduct these exercises with restrictions related to protecting whales and other marine mammals.
Right. So we got Judge Cooper's order on Monday, and then on Wednesday we got Judge Laporte's order in a separate case challenging the Navy's use of low-frequency sonar. The Navy has attempted to begin to use low-frequency sonar throughout 75% of the world's oceans. We had challenged their permit in federal court before Judge Laporte, and she agreed with us that the Navy was likely in violation of the law, and she is issuing a preliminary injunction restricting the Navy's use of that technology in areas that are considered key marine mammal habitat, which is great news.
Well, and it's pretty expansive. Now, tell me if this is an increase in the protected zones. But she is ordering protection for Davidson Seamount, which adjoins the Monterey Bay National Marine Sanctuary, as well as portions of Monterey Bay. And they add to that the Farallones National Marine Sanctuary. That's about 25 miles off the Golden Gate Bridge here in San Francisco. But she goes on to say that other areas that must be sonar-free include the Galapagos Islands off Ecuador, the Great Barrier Reef off Australia, the Pelagos in the Mediterranean Sea, and a protected area of coral reefs and underwater habitat 115 miles northwest of Hawaii. So this is rather sweeping. And I find it interesting, is there a jurisdictional issue that a federal court can tell the U.S. Navy what it can and can't do outside of our territorial waters?
No, there is no jurisdictional issue because the federal agencies, like the Navy, have to comply with federal environmental law even when their actions take place outside U.S. waters. So that's what allows the court to issue this injunction here. And you're right. The court decided or held that the Navy had done a poor job, and that another federal defendant, the National Marine Fisheries Service, had done a poor job deciding which areas around the world are really spectacular whale and marine mammal habitat and therefore deserve protection. So the court is stepping in and declaring certain areas off limits. The list that you read off is really just the beginning. The court has actually directed the parties to sit down together along with a mediator, another judge, and hammer out even more areas where, because of the importance of marine habitat, the Navy should not go with the teleface sonar.
This is a pretty strong development, Kara. I think you're being a little modest about saying you've had a good week. Now, are either of these rulings subject to appeal, and do you have concerns that the government will appeal it up to the whale watchers on the Supreme Court?
Yeah, both are subject to appeal. And in fact, the Navy has already appealed the first of the two orders, the one respecting the Bush administration waivers. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeal is the next step for the Navy, and the Ninth Circuit's already decided that it will hold a hearing on this issue in February 27th, I believe, in Pasadena. So, you know, we're up for some more fight, but we're confident that the Ninth Circuit will agree with the district court here and say that, you know, not even the military, not even the president is above the laws.
And Kara Horowitz from NRDC, who's on your legal team?
Well, there are a few lawyers at NRDC, myself included, and a guy named Joel Reynolds, who heads up our marine mammal program, who's just fabulous. And then we have outside counsel, a wonderful group of lawyers from a law firm here in Los Angeles called Irell and Manella, who are working for us for free, pro bono. And we love all that they do on this case.
Wow.
Very grateful to them.
Well, you know, given the circumstances and the way the Bush administration has manhandled our environmental policies, rolled back protections for endangered species and habitats in general, this really is a stunning development, and I hope you're able to prevail on appeal.
Thanks so much. I certainly am confident that we will. I was remiss and actually failed to mention our San Francisco lawyers on the team that helped in our LSA victory, a group of lawyers at the San Francisco law firm of Morrison & Forrester also working pro bono for us.
The MOFO team.
That's right, the MOFO team. very key to our LSA victory.
Mm-hmm. Great. If you have a question or comment about this issue, about the whales, about the Navy sonar, about these lawsuits, Kara's with us for another segment, so you can call me right now, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372 is our toll-free number. Kara, the whales are the obvious beneficiaries of your efforts, but there are other marine mammals who are similarly affected by the use of the Navy's high-powered sonar. What are those species?
It's true. We talk a lot about whales because they are the charismatic megafauna, but really sonar is an incredibly loud sound that projects all throughout the marine ecosystem and has profound effects for not just whales but other marine mammals and other species too. This is sound so loud that it disrupts fish when they're trying to breed and lay their eggs. It's believed to cause strandings of the elusive great squids. And you know, and we actually don't know very much about its effects on sea turtles, but we know that sea turtles show sort of a panicky response when subjected to these loud sounds. So given the sort of pervasive effects of the sound on the ecosystem, it's not surprising that these injunctions will protect not just whales but other species too.
Now, Kara, help me out here and feel free to straighten me out, but I've done some scuba diving, and at least human hearing is impeded underwater because there's a barrier of water between any sound waves coming and your inner ear. I take it that marine mammals don't have the same hearing issues in water. And, in fact, their own internal navigation systems, and I'm thinking of dolphins in particular right now, are keyed to sound waves and to signals that they send and receive.
Yeah, so as a scuba diver, you'll know that underwater, light does not travel very, very far or very well. Instead, sound travels much further and much better than light underwater, and therefore marine species such as marine mammals have evolved over millennia to have really exquisite senses of sound. They rely on sound to do things like navigate, to find food, to find mates. Certain large whale species are believed to communicate even across ocean basins. They're so loud and they're able to produce sounds that can be heard many thousands of miles away by other whales.
Mm-hmm.
So they have just tremendous senses of hearing. And this tremendously loud naval sonar really messes with some pretty basic life functions.
Well, I'll tell you a quick anecdote. I'm a sailor, and this about 10 or 15 years ago, I was on a sailboat off the Caribbean island of St. Kitts. And it was a very quiet, calm day, not much wind, and we were basically just drifting along. And I had a CD on the stereo. It was Robbie Robertson and some of his Native American music. Had a big bass line, a lot of drums. And at one point I looked up, and we were surrounded by more than 100 dolphins. And they were swimming alongside our boat. They were clearly attracted to the sound that they heard. I don't know if they perceived it as music. And they swam alongside us for as long as the CD was playing. And when it was over, I really didn't make the connection. But the music stopped, and these critters swam away. And it was just so neat to experience it. They would swim up alongside the boat and kind of race one another along the left and the starboard and port side of the boat, and they would crisscross right at the bow. And I went up there and watched them, and they were doing this in a very playful way. And because of the navigation systems that are audio-based that they have, they could do this effortlessly. And they couldn't see each other as they were coming up, one on the left, one on the right, but they never collided. They knew where that other dolphin was on the other side of the boat, even though they didn't have visual contact with them.
It's really incredible what these animals are able to do. I just get chills thinking about, as I said, whales being able to communicate with each other, potentially across ocean basins, using sound and using their echolocation, being able to migrate for many, many thousands of miles. I had the pleasure last year of visiting a bunch of gray whales that migrate up and down the California coast. I visited them in their Mexico home in the winter, where they go every year to a series of the same lagoons to give birth to their young. and how they find their way to those precise lagoons down from Alaska every year and back again remains a mystery. But, you know, the one thing we know is that sound has a lot to do with it.
Well, you know, so, they stop at AAA and pick up maps.
Of course they do.
We're going to take a break and return. Kara Horowitz is with us, an attorney with the National Resources Defense Council, NRDC. We're talking about their victories. They're moving forward in protecting marine mammals from the Navy's use of sonar. And I want to hasten to add that these are in maneuvers that could be anywhere in the world. And the Navy wants to cite them for their own convenience in areas known to have high populations of marine mammals. And the courts are ruling in favor of the whales in the NRDC. If you have a question or a comment, this is the perfect time for it. Call me now, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And we do accept collect calls from whales.
KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Checking traffic on KRXA, and good news, Monterey, Santa Cruz, and Salinas all currently checking in, stalling accident-free. Some debris to watch out for on 101, South 101 before San Martin Avenue in San Martin. Chunks of tire, that's in the second lane from the left. In Prunedale, northbound 101 at Echo Valley Road, the CHP getting several calls. About 3 inches of gravel spilled in the merge lane. Definitely drive with caution there. Highway 17 going through the Santa Cruz Mountains currently checks in, stalling accident-free. Earlier injury crash, Highway 68 at Lorelis Grade Road with a bicyclist down. That's been cleared out, but there may be some residual slowing going through the area. For Ben Lohman, northbound Highway 9 between Middle Road and Western Avenue, the left lane shut down for road work. That's going to cause delays. Highway 1 northbound and southbound through Monterey County, currently checking in, stalling accident-free. This is brought to you by Carfax. Was that car you're buying wrecked in a crash on Highway 68? Half the cars salvaged in Salinas are rebuilt and resold. Ask your dealer for a free Carfax vehicle history report or go to Carfax.com. That's traffic on KRXA.
Pacific Grove's Joe Romby has turned his attention to pizza. Central Coast residents and visitors can now enjoy the finest pizza this side of Italy. Whether you crave the elegant simplicity of a pizza margherita or one of Joe Romby's signature creations, you'll fall in love with pizza all over again at Joe Romby's La Piccola Casa Pizzeria, next to Joe Romby's La Mia Cucina on 17th Street in Pacific Grove. Click on JoeRomby.com or call 831-373-0129. That's 373-0129.
Holistic and alternative practitioners and individuals love the energy from the Amethyst Biomat. It offers natural and effective heat therapy in NASA-based technology. Far infrared heat simulates the immune system by causing an artificial fever and stimulating the immune system with multiple benefits. Improve many bodily problems with alkalizing your pH, removing acidic waste deposits responsible for most illnesses. Just lie on it to benefit with 5 different sizes. Give the power to create a fever and cure most diseases. To find out more about what the Amethyst Biomat can do for you, visit www.amethystbiomat.com. That's AMETHYSTBIOMAT.com. Or call Rachel at 1-888-337-7262. That's 1-888-337-7262.
George Chavez of Chavez Jewelry Design specializes in recycling and restoring old jewelry, whether it's old broken jewelry or simply an item which no longer suits you. George invites you to actively participate in the creative process and to personally direct the creation of that special piece of jewelry that is truly and uniquely you. You'll find George weekdays 11 to 7 at Chavez Jewelry Design, 1418 Freedom Boulevard in Watsonville. Questions? Give George a call at 768-8004. That's 768-8004.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking about the struggle over the Navy's use of sonar and its impact on marine mammals like whales.
No more sleeping in bed. No more backward thinking. Time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from the way it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty.
Coming up right after the top of the hour news, we'll talk with Brad Friedman from bradblog.com, get a recap of Super Tuesday, where some of the problems were with election systems, the double bubble in L.A., sleepovers, not of voting machines, but of ballots in New Mexico, and some other issues, too, that have popped up, like, where's Ken Blackwell, and why can't he come to Congress and testify as requested? We continue now with Kara Horowitz from the National Resources Defense Council. And, Kara, is there a website where people can get more information on these legal actions we've been talking about?
Yeah, absolutely. www.nrdc, that's for Natural Resources Defense Council.com, has lots of information about not just our lawsuits, but on Navy sonar in general and on its effects on whales and other species. So I encourage people to check that out.
All right, great. Let's go to Deborah in Carmel. Thanks for calling, Deborah. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Kara Horowitz.
Hi there. I have been following this with great interest, and congratulations. But my fear is that there's something going on at a different level, that by declaring an emergency, we have various government agencies saying, therefore, we don't have to comply with NEPA, or if it's California, with CEQA. Are you picking that up anywhere?
And can you decode those acronyms, please?
California Environmental Quality Act and the National Environmental Protection Act.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead, Kara.
Thanks, Deborah. I think that's a great question, and that's exactly what we were taking on in one of our cases in Southern California. You're precisely right. What the federal government, and particularly the Bush administration, had done in that case was try to declare an emergency in order to avoid compliance with NEPA, the National Environmental Policy Act, in its conduct of Southern California sonar exercises. And it said, because there's an emergency here, we don't have to comply, and therefore the court has no right to issue its injunction requiring protective measures.
Now,
That's exactly the argument we were confronting, and the court rejected it flatly.
I'm sorry, Kara, but is this emergency the pending invasion of San Diego?
Well, you know, the court doesn't have your sense of humor, but essentially agreed with you. What the court said is there is no emergency here. Any emergency is of the Navy's own making because it simply failed to comply with the law earlier. Now it finds that because I've issued this injunction requiring it to comply with the law, all of a sudden it's an emergency. Well, the necessity to comply with the law doesn't constitute an emergency, is basically what the court said.
Very interesting. Go ahead, Deborah.
Monterey County and other parts of Northern California.
I'm sorry, I didn't quite hear that, Deborah. Can you say that again?
Yeah, a little louder, Deborah.
Monterey County was sprayed from the air in the middle of the night. No CEQA or NEPA was done. It was done under the auspices of the California Food and Agriculture Department, and they are refusing to do CEQA. And the chemical stuff that's being sprayed to confuse the light brown non-native apple moth has never been sprayed on humans before, or at least not on American humans. So we wind up being the guinea pigs.
You know anything about that, Kara?
No, I don't, Deborah. I'm sorry. I don't know anything about that in particular. But
the same technique was used. They declared an emergency.
So she's saying the same technique was used, the declaration of an emergency. And I haven't heard of a pending invasion of Monterey or Carmel by the Sea.
They're in San Francisco. And they're putting up twist ties in trees in Marin County. Us, we got sprayed in the middle of the night.
Uh-huh.
And do you know, Deborah, if anybody's taken that on as a law, you know, a challenge?
They're trying, but it's the normal that, you know, little people with little pocketbooks and little local attorneys, and they haven't gotten into a courtroom to reach the issue of CEQA and NEPA applying.
Well, it sounds like you may certainly have a case, so I wish you luck with it.
And would NRDC be an appropriate resource for her?
Perhaps. That's not an area that I work in, but it may be. I know that there are some folks in our San Francisco office who take on the use of toxics, so and issues affecting public health.
All right, Deborah, thank you for an excellent question.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate the call today. And Kara, about 30 seconds remaining. Anything you'd like to add that we haven't covered already?
Well, I'll just say that both of the wonderful rulings that we got this week say essentially the same thing. Sonar is really harmful to whales. the Navy is violating the law when it uses sonar, and it can and must do more to protect marine mammals and other species while training effectively. Mm-hmm. So, and that's the take-home message.
All right. Very good. Kara, thanks for your work.
Thank you so much, Peter.
We'll talk again. Kara Horowitz from the National Resources Defense Council. That's an actual whale. We're going to take a break and return. His Bradness, Brad Friedman, coming up next. We'll talk about Super Tuesday and how it all went. You're welcome to call in at 888-5-PETER-B. Grab a podcast, share it with a friend. The link's on the homepage at peterbcollins.com. And check out the Peter B. Challenge.
We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company, which offers more than 60 different wines made with certified organic grapes. Veronique, French wines are intimidating for some American consumers. Mm-hmm. How do you help break it down for us?
Don't be intimidated. What is there to be intimidated about? There's nothing too exotic about them. You either like them or you don't like them. You know, it's really simple. You either like Van Gogh or you don't. You either like the Beatles or you don't. You know, wines are really a form of a vibration in a bottle, just like poetry, just like music. And you know the style of music that you like. So maybe you're going to love French wines. And then go for it.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE toll-free. That's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. President Bush offered comforting words and promises of federal help as he visited tornado victims in Macon County, Tennessee today.
I'm here to thank the people that will provide the compassion for people who hurt. I noticed we got the Red Cross sitting over there. They are good responders.
He said he wanted to make sure that the government's response is compassionate and effective.
This is Jim Crisul in Middle Tennessee. It's only added to the pain, anguish, shock, and sense of loss here. Word of the deaths of a popular minister, his wife, and their two children, just hours after the Reverend Michael Welch opened his church as a family crisis center. The four died when a truck rear-ended their car as they sat in tornado zone traffic.
Across the South, the number of deaths directly caused by Tuesday's tornadoes has risen to 59. Four bodies have been removed from the smoldering ruins of the Imperial Sugar Refinery near Savannah. Fire Captain Matthew Stanley says at least four workers are still missing.
We will bring in heavy rescue teams, heavy rescue equipment. We will start moving debris, shoring debris, and begin the recovery efforts again at daylight.
The fire, touched off by last night's explosion, burned most of the day. The cause hasn't been determined, but officials suspect sugar dust was the source of the explosion. 2 years ago, federal safety experts urged the Labor Department to adopt regulations to prevent dust explosions, but no action was taken.
Who is that candidate that's made a lifetime commitment to implementing real changes in our health care system?
A Hillary Clinton rally attended by thousands of nurses in Tacoma, Washington, in advance of tomorrow's caucuses. Barack Obama drew an overflow crowd in Seattle.
I'm Barry Bagnato in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. One day after Barack Obama laid out a plan to strengthen levees, schools, and health care, former President Clinton came to tell Louisiana voters what his wife already has done since Hurricane Katrina. In contrast to Obama's cheering thousands, hundreds here hushed to total silence as he urged them to vote for her.
That's the person who came here to Katrina before the election season. That's the person who voted for you when you needed it.
With every delegate precious now for Democrats, they are paying more attention to this state's primary tomorrow than Republicans. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
With Mitt Romney's withdrawal, John McCain is widely considered to have the Republican nomination locked up, but in Topeka, Kansas, Mike Huckabee refused to concede.
A lot of folks are saying, well, it looks like John McCain has already got this nomination, but not yet. Not yet.
Kansas has Republican caucuses tomorrow. Police in Baton Rouge say a young woman with a gun walked into a classroom at Louisiana Technical College this morning, shot two other women dead, and then took her own life. The motive is a mystery. The Dow lost 64 points to close the week at 12,182, the Nasdaq up 11. This is CBS News.
Attention, Kmart shoppers. Mr. Blue Light here with Greg. And Greg, what are you going to get your girlfriend for Valentine's Day?
Absolutely nothing.
Nothing?
Yeah, she said she didn't want anything. She's cool like that.
Oh, no. Greg, what she means by that is that she wants you to surprise her with something from the heart.
Oh, dear.
This Valentine's Day, Kmart's Best of Blue is filled with items she'll love, like diamond earrings, pajama sets, or a beautiful journey pendant.
Wait, so when I call home and she tells me to stay out with my buddies, that means...
Come home now.
No way.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. Don't you have enough stress in your life? Then why do you keep letting your vacuum cleaner torture you? Try an incredibly light, amazingly powerful Orrick XL, risk-free for 30 days. It's hard on dirt and easy on you, and you'll be done in a fraction of the time it takes to use one of those big clunkers. Call 1-800-989-4200. That's 1-800-989-4200. Or click on to Orrick.com. Now, how easy was that?
Scientists sound another alarm about global warming, saying it could spread diseases that have always been confined to the tropics. CBS News reporter Larry Miller has the story from London.
Climate change could bring invasions of tropical mosquitoes and tick-borne viruses to a warmer Europe, according to a report in the Lancet Medical Journal. These are viruses transmitted by blood-sucking insects. One of them, yellow fever, causes up to 30,000 deaths a year in sub-Saharan Africa. Another, dengue virus, sends the body into shock. British researchers say with global warming, these diseases could reach as far as northern Europe. Larry Miller, CBS News, London.
Instant photography isn't fast enough anymore. Polaroid, the company that pioneered Instant Pictures, is closing its last two film manufacturing plants to focus on digital imaging and flat panel TVs. Polaroid stopped making instant cameras years ago and filed for bankruptcy in 2001. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents A Word from Your Tires.
Sir, I think I speak for the four of us when I say that we do not support your current errand.
Well, we're going to the tire store. You guys are tires.
Head to the dealership.
Well, at the tire store, you can see your buddies.
We don't associate with off-brands. Your dealer has name brands. Michelin, Continental, Goodyear.
Enough.
I don't think they carry that one.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service. Come in, keep going.
Valentine's Day's always been special for me and my baby girl. Over the years, we shared many a candy heart together. And even though she's grown and on her own, my wife and I still like to get her a little something each year. That's my job. So I always go to Walmart. I know they have a favorite candy like Russell Stover and Nestle and those Dove chocolate hearts. Plus, I can pick out some fresh flowers and a card. So even though I got a late start this year, thanks to Walmart, we were right on time to show our baby love on Valentine's Day. Walmart. Save money. Live better.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. Once again, your homework assignment for the weekend class. Log on to peterbcollins.com. On the homepage, a special message. Right there under the button, the Peter B. Challenge. Not going to talk about it today, but we will talk about it on Monday. So get up to speed. And then we will be prepared to engage your services. And I don't want to be too cryptic. But what we're talking about here are some issues that are confronting the Peter B. Collins Show and some of our key affiliates and our desire to survive and sustain progressive talk radio. So how was your Tuesday? Was it super? Was it super duper? And if you're listening in Los Angeles County, how did you deal with the double bubble? That's not something you get at Burger King. Now for this and more, we turn to his Bradness, Brad Friedman from bradblog.com in the classic green and yellow today. Hello, Brad.
Hello, Peter. How are you, sir?
I'm doing okay. How was your week?
Kind of busy.
Yeah?
Yeah. Turned out, it was one of those Super Bowl weeks, I suppose, for a guy like me, and it still is.
Yeah.
Figure.
Well, a lot has happened. Where would you like to begin? I have a bunch of things that I want to ask you about, but you're the guy there at the news desk.
Well, I'll tell you, I think one of the biggest problems, certainly for my money here, is what has gone on in my home county of Los Angeles here.
Mm-hmm.
We can start there if you wish, unless you have a more pressing question.
No, I want to get to New Mexico and also just talk about the big picture in California, but I understand that one of the issues had to do with decline to state voters who went to the polls in Los Angeles and, say, asked for a Democratic ballot.
That's right. Well, if they knew to ask for a Democratic ballot, then in theory, actually not a Democratic ballot, but to vote in the Democratic primary, which was an open primary down here, then in theory, they would have been allowed to vote in that Democratic primary. We've got some 700,000 decline to state voters down here. That would be nonpartisan voters.
Mm-hmm.
Not to be confused, by the way, with independent voters.
Correct.
Many folks registered as independents only to find out that they were actually added to the American Independent Party, in which case they were not allowed to vote in the Democratic primary. They had to vote in the American Independent primary, which also had some candidates who I've never heard of who were running for office.
Mm-hmm.
With all of that said, if they jumped through those hoops and they asked to vote in the Democratic primary, they should have been the right way. And it's taken me about 3 days to figure out what was supposed to be what was supposed to happen in this disastrously confusing procedure down here in Los Angeles County. But they were supposed to be given a nonpartisan ballot. They were to then directed to the voting booth marked Democrat, where they could use the template. We use a paper ballot down here called the Inca Vote, where they would slide their Inca Vote paper ballot into the template booklet, and they would be able to vote for one of the Democratic primary candidates. Mm-hmm. However, there was a second bubble that they had to fill in to choose between Democratic or American Independent, because their primary was also open, to specify and to tell the machine, the counting machine essentially, which primary this ballot was intended to be used for.
Now, I'm looking at the blog now, and you have a photograph of these two ballots, one marked nonpartisan and the other marked Democratic.
Yeah.
And at the bottom of the picture, it may not be the bottom of the ballot, but at the bottom of the picture, there are bubbles on the left and right. And if you left that blank, what happened, Fred?
Your vote would not be counted.
Really?
Yeah. And right now we're looking at the latest numbers we seem to have is somewhere nearing 100,000 voters who would have tried to vote in the Democratic primary, but whose ballots may not be counted. Now, thankfully, there was some mix-up at the election at many of the polling places where poll workers actually gave Democratic ballots rather than nonpartisan ballots to these voters. Now, in that case, if you had a Democratic ballot, you did not have to fill in the little bubble specifying that this should be Democratic. Even though that bubble appeared on the ballot for some odd reason. But if you got lucky and the poll workers got it wrong, gave you a Democratic ballot, then your vote will probably be counted. If, on the other hand, they gave you a nonpartisan ballot, as they're supposed to do, and you did not fill in that second bubble, then we got a real problem because the machine won't know whether they should count the presidential vote as part of the Democratic primary or as part of the American Independent primary, because in the wisdom of our former, thankfully former Registrar of Voters, Connie McCormick, the same bubbles are used to select the Democratic presidential candidate as is the American Independent presidential candidate.
That's effing brilliant.
Isn't that ingenious? And that would be Connie McCormick, Diebold cover girl who appeared on their sales brochure singing their praises, who complained about Deborah Bowen, Secretary of State Deborah Bowen's new security requirements for voting systems, because last summer when she found that they were virtually all hackable and inaccurate, McCormick complained that it wasn't right, it was dangerous to do to the voters just 6 months before such an important election. And then, of course, 1 month before that important election, Connie McCormick quit entirely.
Mm-hmm.
So she left behind the current acting registrar, Dean Logan, a fellow who made his name infamously by overseeing the disastrous 2004 gubernatorial election up in Washington State, which you may remember as an utter disaster.
Sure, it took months to sort that out.
That's right, and largely because of Dean Logan's dreadful work in King County, Washington. And Dean Logan is now the acting registrar who informed everyone that these procedures that I have just explained to you are real clear, quote, real clear, that there shouldn't be any problem at all. Well, there does seem to be a problem to the tune of at least 100,000 voters who may be disenfranchised by this just disaster of a procedure down here. That we're trying to get it sorted out somehow, but as I say, in many of these cases, there may well be no way to determine if the voter was intending to vote in the Democratic primary or if they were intending to vote in the American Independent primary.
Now, Brad, I don't understand this layer here, and I do not acknowledge that every county has different procedures and rules, and they're permitted to do that under state law. But I'm not familiar with the idea of a nonpartisan ballot, and I have been a declined to state voter since at least 2000.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went into my polling place, it was interesting because I was one of the first to vote that day. And when they saw that I was a DTS voter, they kind of had to think about it a second, and then their training kicked in. And the woman who I signed in with just pointed to a sign that they had on the table that said, declined to state voters, you may request a Democratic ballot. You may not request a Republican ballot. And so they gave me a Democratic ballot, and I filled it out, and then I, of course, just put it into the optical scanner.
Right.
So it was fairly straightforward for me, but again, I'm not familiar with this idea of a nonpartisan ballot for DTS voters.
Well, had we done that down here, and as I said, many election workers ended up doing that anyway, incorrectly, but they did it anyway. They just handed them a Democratic ballot, and all was fine. I guess, as best as I can understand, the reason for doing this was so that the county down here, which I should add is the largest, most populous county in the nation,
right,
and it's larger than two-thirds of the states in this country, theoretically, they were doing this so that they could track how many nonpartisan voters were actually voting as Democratic or as American Independent.
Mm-hmm.
That, I'm guessing, is the theory, at least the only sort of legitimate theory behind such a ridiculous scheme as this one. Now,
but that's something that could have been done in the first phase of the check-in. It didn't require a separate ballot to count it after the fact.
Well, you realize, had it been done in the first page of the check-in, in other words, you're suggesting had they marked it down in the roster book, for example?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, they would have had to count that by hand. That might have taken time and would have accidentally been accurate.
And verifiable.
That's right.
I see.
So instead, we've got this mess where, in fact, we really have no idea how many nonpartisan voters voted Democratic, unless, in fact, they do go back and count that roster book under the presumption that, in fact, the poll workers did as they were supposed to, which is to basically make a notation in the book that the voter has chosen to vote Democratic.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Anything else you want to add about Los Angeles issues?
For now, no. Well, actually, I will.
Well, how about the ding on the L.A. Times?
Yeah, how'd you know?
Because I read Brad Block.
Yeah, that's exactly what I wanted to mention. The L.A. Times, it was incredible. After the election, I think it was in Wednesday's paper, they reported, quote, their headline was, "Few glitches in Tuesday's election except for independence. So I guess those few glitches, except for independence, except for hundreds of thousands of independent voters right. who may not have their ballot counted. Other than that, few glitches, everything was fine, nothing to worry about here.
All right, we're going to take a break. Brad is with us this entire hour. I want to open up the phone lines now and invite you to call and report any issues that you found in voting on Super Tuesday or in casting a ballot by mail prior to the election. Maybe you're one of those people who filled out an absentee ballot and took it to your county clerk or your registrar. If you have any questions or any issues arising from the way that the election was handled and the way your votes were counted, don't get into the delegate assignment. We talked about that earlier today with Tom Gengale. But let's focus on the process of the election and your particular experience. So bring on any issues you want to discuss with Brad this hour. 888-5-PETER-B. Lines are open right now. Toll free. 888-573-8372. You can email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com.
You're listening to KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years. And he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Cynthia from Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore in Carmel, and we have something new, a unique opportunity to give yourself or someone special the gift of consultation with nationally respected life coach and career mentor, Raymond Davi. Paul and I know firsthand the empowerment Ray has to offer. Discover how changes can propel you where you want to go in the areas of personal and career growth or planning goals for ongoing success, as well as insights for your work-life balance. Don't hesitate. Call and reserve your 90-minute appointment or purchase a gift certificate now. Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden, 624-4955 or www.pilgrimsway.com.
Hi, I'm J.R. Medina, owner of PG Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue in Pacific Grove. My family and I are proud to serve the finest selection of beer, wine, liquor, and non-alcoholic beverages in the Monterey area. Our store is evolving beyond adult and soft drinks. We serve freshly brewed Acme coffee, the finest breakfast burritos, and now Nathan's hot dogs. We're open daily. Come by and check out the big, big selection and low, low prices at PG Liquors. That's PG Liquors at 229 Grand in Pacific Grove.
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super grain nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Whole Foods Market in Monterey, Cornucopia Community Market in Carmel, Staff of Life in Santa Cruz, and New Leaf Markets in Santa Cruz and Capitola. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat, created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
Checking traffic on KRXA, and good news, Monterey, Santa Cruz, and Salinas all currently check and install and accident-free. Some debris to watch out for on 101, South 101 before San Martin Avenue in San Martin. Chunks of tire, that's in the second lane from the left. In Prunedale, northbound 101 at Echo Valley Road, the CHP getting several calls. About 3 inches of gravel spilled in the merge lane. Definitely drive with caution there. Highway 17 going through the Santa Cruz Mountains currently checks install and accident-free. Earlier injury crash, Highway 68 at Lorelis Grade Road with a bike. bicyclist down. That's been cleared out, but there may be some residual slowing going through the area. For Ben Lomond, northbound Highway 9 between Middle Road and Western Avenue, the left lane shut down for road work. That's going to cause delays. Highway 1 northbound and southbound through Monterey County, currently checking in Stalin accident-free. This is brought to you by Carfax. Was that car you're buying wrecked in a crash on Highway 68? Half the cars salvaged in Salinas are rebuilt and resold. Ask your dealer for a free Carfax vehicle history report or go to Carfax.com. That's traffic on KRXA.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, breaking down Super Tuesday. If you happen to be a poll worker or you just want to share your observations from the voting process, we want to hear from you this hour at 888-5-PETER-B. We'll talk about the problems in New Mexico, some sleepovers there, not for machines, but for actual ballots. They need their beauty rest, we understand. Karen in Sacramento joins us, listening to KSAC. Hello, Karen.
Hi, I just wanted to let you know your inspiration is manifesting itself in listeners who are becoming poll workers.
Well, great. Tell us your experience.
Well, I actually got a good crew, and I felt good about the people I was working with. What kind of bummed me out was at the training when I learned that most of the people were there for the $100. But we did, in fact, count our votes by hand,
mm-hmm.
and all four of us sat there and validated each other's signature and counted. So that felt good.
By hand?
By hand. And you know what? At the training, people, they not only were they worried about their $100, but they were grimacing about the fact that they were going to have to count by hand.
And what county was that in, Karen?
Sacramento.
In Sacramento County.
Yeah, they were loathing it. And, so
and the resistance was because it would make them stay later or they had to actually work? I mean, what's the problem?
Because they'd have to actually work.
Oh.
And learn how to tally and balance the books. And that's why we really need talented people to get involved. Because, I mean, it was so disheartening to see these people go, oh, we have to count them. And then I was the only one there at the training who somehow knew that Diebold had lost their contract and why we were doing this. And the people giving the training didn't say why. And one lady said, well, how are we going to reconcile? And, well, the obvious answer is you reconcile it with the person who's, you know, running the roster. But the fellow didn't tell her that. Instead, I'm sorry, it was another issue. They wanted us to make sure that the box we got delivered was completely emptied before we began taking ballots. And someone said, well, why do we need to do that? And he says, oh, that's just to make sure everything's working right. He didn't say we're changing procedures this year because the public doesn't trust the way we count votes.
Well, there was also a problem, Karen, up in Sacramento, and I'm not sure if this was in your area or not. I think it was, where they were planning to count by machine, but as of a week or two ago, the machines didn't work, and they couldn't figure out how to, and they couldn't figure out why. They had these optical scanners had worked before, but suddenly they didn't.
That's right.
So I think that was part of the reason as well, was it not?
Yes, that's true. I gathered that, but they didn't tell us that.
Well, to their to the credit this time around of the Sacramento election officials, we'll give them credit because they actually bothered to test the machines and find out in advance that they didn't work,
yeah,
instead of waiting until after like we would have done down here in L.A. County.
Mm-hmm.
There was one concern I did have, and that's after we dropped everything off at the district office, and I didn't actually do that. I left it to the two other people, but so still, I did think that they still used the scanner at night, and they had the count ready by the morning, didn't they not?
Well, I think they did. Now, this was despite you could see one article, I mean dozens of articles, just prior to the election going on and on about the enormous delays and how California would and the nation itself would fall to its knees,
right,
having to wait until 6 a.m. the next morning to...
Or even longer. San Francisco and Santa Clara counties were warning that it might take a couple of days.
I don't know how they would have survived. I hope everyone is okay up in those affected areas.
Well, it's a 16-hour day.
But, Brad, on Wednesday, just before we went on the air at 3 o'clock Pacific, we logged on to the Secretary of State's website, and it was showing 98.5% of precincts reporting.
Yeah, I know.
So there was no meltdown. There was no substantial delay caused by hand counting in certain jurisdictions.
No, of course not. That was all a scam. That was a CYA move, if you will, by a lot of those election registrars who were trying to beat up on Deborah Bowen and protect their own rear ends. And Karen, by the way, thank you very much. I did hear that comment that it was a 16-hour day,
yes,
which is ridiculous. But, you know, frankly, no matter how many hours a day it is, thank you for doing it. God love you. I wish there was more and more of you out there. So thank you, Karen.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay. And, gosh, I'm trying to operate heavy equipment all at the same time here. I have my solar-powered calculator here. I'm pointing it at the sun. 100 divided, a 16-hour day?
16-hour day.
Okay. That is $6.25 an hour. That's a great American wage.
Yeah, and no wonder they have trouble finding poll workers. Go figure.
We're going to take a break and return with his Bradness. More of your calls coming up next. Lines available, 888-5-PETER-B. Grab the podcast at peterbcollins.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Juan specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
KRXA 540 AM is the home of Cal State University Monterey Bay Basketball. Hi, this is Rob Hunt, the voice of the CSUMB Otters, inviting you to join KRXA as we bring you the best of NCAA Division II basketball with the CSUMB Otters.
This weekend, CSU Stanislaus comes to the Kelp Bed on Friday, then Chico State arrives on the bus Saturday. 7:15 pregames on KRXA 540, Friday and Saturday. Go Otters!
Hi,
this is J.R. Medina, and I want to thank KRXA and its listeners for supporting my store, PG Liquors. My son-in-law, Chad, and I truly appreciate the wonderful positive response that we have received to our advertising campaign on this station. We urge other business people in Monterey and Santa Cruz counties who want to increase their business at a reasonable cost to call KRXA's sales manager, Larry Rathall, at 394-5792. KRXA provides the best advertising value that I have found for businesses like mine. Call Larry at 394-KRXA.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Super Duper Tuesday is behind us. How did the vote go for you?
Unbelievable.
LA Times reports no major problems in Los Angeles, and up to 700,000 declined to state voters may not have their ballots counted. Brad Friedman continues with us. Visit his website at bradblog.com. Your homework assignment over the weekend, if you're a supporter of the Peter B. Collins Show, is to go to my website at peterbcollins.com and read that little link called the Peter B. Challenge. We need your help. We're going to start talking about this on Monday. So I hope you'll do your homework and get up to speed on that.
Hey, Peter, can I say a very quick second about a thought about that real quick?
Sure you may.
I got to read the Peter B. Challenge during the break here. And, you know, I want to underscore, I hope everyone goes and reads that and understands that it really is up to us. If you want to continue to have resources like Peter B. available on the radio, and, of course, by way of that, having me every
mm-hmm.
Friday at 5,
right.
You need to step up, and folks need to step up. You know, I noticed that people on the non-progressive side of the of this fight here, the Republicans, by and large, do step up, and they do support their media folks. We don't see that on the progressive side.
Yep.
That's got to change, because while we don't see people supporting enough, supporting people like you, you know, with funding, with advertisements, and so forth, what we do hear a lot of from the left is folks complaining about radio stations shutting down, their favorite broadcast being taken off the air. Well, you can do something about it. You must do something about it, because I would suggest that the Peter B. Collins Show is too invaluable a resource for this nation to risk losing it. So I hope people will pay attention to that Peter B. Challenge and take action here to do something about it, because as I always say about democracy, it ain't going to save itself, and I would suggest the same is true for Peter B. Collins, the Peter B. Collins Show. We need to step up and support the progressive independent media.
Well, thank you for that, Brad. And I will just add that we're at a critical crossroads. And that's why I issued the challenge. It's not a fatwa, and it is not, you know, asking for sympathy. What we're asking for is business. We need to support the radio stations that carry this program. And that means you need to support the advertisers you hear, and you also need to help us find new advertisers to sustain and keep these shows on the air and keep these stations alive.
And you know, Peter, when I was you know, trying to sell a radio advertisement myself at various points here, I think people are often surprised. They think that the folks who advertise on the radio must spend you know, tens of thousands of dollars a month. I don't think they realize just how inexpensive it is. And how, you know, how much of a favor they are doing, not a favor, that's not the right word, but, you know, how important that support is to a show like yours, and how incredibly cheap it is. I think you even mentioned on the site something like for $500 a month,
yep,
they can advertise on the show. I suspect there's a lot of people that run businesses who are listening to this show, small businesses, even at-home businesses, who could probably afford $500 a month to get the word out about their business and at the same time help to keep your voice on the air. So I hope they'll pay close attention to that.
All right. Thank you, Brad. I do appreciate your second. Janet in Humboldt County joins us now here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Hi, Janet.
Hi, Peter B. Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, I hate it when you say that, Janet. Thank you for calling. Thank you for caring.
I've never called you.
Well, go ahead.
I live in Humboldt County,
mm-hmm.
and I vote absentee ballot. I'm a senior citizen, a disabled senior citizen. This year I was not able to vote. I received my ballot in the mail, but the election name and the election date was from 2007.
Did they have any elections in Humboldt in 2007?
They had, yes, they did.
Yeah.
And when I called Carolyn Crinch, the Register of Voters.
Cernich, uh-huh.
And mentioned this, they'd sent a postcard out to all the absentee ballot voters. And it says specifically to ignore that the election name and election date are incorrect, that your ballot will still be counted.
I mean, couldn't they run down to Kinko's and reprint the ballots? This seems kind of slipshod.
Why on earth they would do that? Why would they allow the 2008 primary, presidential primary election to have a 2007 voter stub? And what the voter register's office said is that Premier, which used to be Diebold, forgot to change the voter stub.
All right, Brad.
Yeah, Premier still is Diebold, by the way.
I know that. They just changed their name in August
right.
of 2007.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm telling you, what I said is, this isn't a good ballot as far as I'm concerned, because the stub and the ballot itself do not match up.
Did you go ahead and vote with that absentee ballot anyway?
No, I did not. I didn't feel that it was a valid ballot. So when I asked the lady what could I do and what alternative did I have, she said, well, if I took this yellow postcard with my absentee ballot down to my local polling place and turned it in, they would give me another ballot, a different ballot.
Probably a provisional.
No. She said if I forgot my yellow card, I would only get a provisional.
Okay.
But if I brought this yellow postcard, which they mailed out on January 17th, and I got it and I looked at it, but I thought, oh, big deal, you know, and then I got to reading it. And what it says is on the ballot itself, it says exactly what last year's ballot said. The ballot for 2007 for the election of such and such for 2007.
Well, at minimum, this is cheesy. And maximum, Brad, it appears that the registrar isn't observing the regulations of and protocols for staging an election.
Well, it certainly sounds like that. And this is the first I've heard of that particular problem up there. It's quite disturbing, actually. And I don't have Dave Berman's contact email address is handy here, but there's a real good citizen election integrity group up there in Humboldt. I'm sure they would like to know about this, and if there's any way you can get in touch with them, or Peter, if you happen to have Dave's email address contact nearby, it would be good. As well, if there's any other folks up in Humboldt who are listening who ran into the same problem, feel free to drop me an email at brad@bradblog.com. I'd love to know just how widespread this problem was. And frankly, I'd love to see that yellow card, if anybody has one that, you know, explains this problem.
Janet, do you have email?
Yes, I do.
Okay, Dave Berman's email is info@voterconfidencecommittee.org. info@voterconfidencecommittee.org.
Well, I called Deborah Bowen's office, I called the Voters Action Office, I called the Election Fraud Office, and a guy at the Election Fraud Office, Mark Logan, he laughed at me. He thought this was funny.
Oh, really?
And I told him I thought he should be fired.
Yeah, you're right.
Janet,
I want to move along, but I thank you for reporting this, and do get in touch with Dave Berman and let us know if there's any follow-up.
And I tried to get a hold of Brad Blog, and I couldn't. I didn't. Everything I tried, there was no way I could get through.
Oh, brad@bradblog.com.
Yes.
It works every time for me.
Okay, great.
Okay,
thank
Janet, thank you. Ron in Colusa, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi. I think that the storyline on the Democratic primary so far, the official slop, isn't worth a bucket of warm spit. You know, I think the name of the game is really Obama has been... I think he's been winning handily, and I think the name of the game is holding the Clintons if close, you know, and then to eventually basically steal it from Obama. If you go back to, you know, New Hampshire for a second, the polite society had it that Hillary's stupid sob sister routine turned it around. You know, the evidence was that 8 or 9 pre-primary polls had him 9 or 10, Obama ahead by 9 or 10 points, and then the exit polling and early projections and so on and so forth. And, you know, and where I heard it on your show where they had opticals, where they had hand-counted precincts, Obama won almost 70% of it, but I think time and again in Nevada.
Well, let me stop you for a second, Ron, and ask Brad if there's an update on that recount in New Hampshire.
On the recount in New Hampshire, the Republican is there is an update. I have not been able to get to it, but the Republican out there who is in the middle of that count is still having problems with the Secretary of State, who has not been responsive to any of his Freedom of Information Act requests to get records of how many people voted and to be allowed to count uncounted ballots and so forth. While counters are sitting around, and he's paying them, the counters are sitting around having counted all the ballots, and the Secretary of State seems to be slow-walking the whole process, and they're still going out around the state and bringing back ballots to Concord to be counted. It's a real mess out there.
All right.
I think one other thing.
Yeah, Ron.
An important factor, the Republicans, Limbaugh, are salivating at the possibility of Democrats nominating Hillary because they think, you know, she would be a relative pushover. And I think Super Tuesday, I think there was some vote monkey business that, you know.
All right, Ron, thank you very much. I appreciate your call today. Now, Brad, let's talk about New Mexico, because this is a mess. And we have a guy who's governor of New Mexico, who was in the presidential campaign, Bill Richardson. He dropped out. And one email I got indicated that he spent Super Bowl Sunday with Bill Clinton. And that is suggested as a reason why there were problems in New Mexico, and still large numbers of ballots remain uncounted today.
Well, the biggest problem in New Mexico seems to be that thousands of voters showed up at last count. Some 17,000 voters were forced to vote on provisional ballots when they showed up and found that they were, though they believed that they were registered Democrats, and in fact confirmation with the Secretary of State seems to confirm that, nonetheless, the registration lists that they had at the polling places did not include them, and they were forced to vote on provisional ballots. Now, I should add that the Democratic Party out there ran this election rather than the state. However, the registration lists did come from the apparently did come from the Secretary of State's office, and the Secretary of State contracts out the oversight of that list to a little company called ES&S.
Oh, great. Chuck Hagel.
That's right. The largest voting machine company in the world. So, in other words, in New Mexico now, apparently, ES&S runs the voting machines. They program them, and they completely control the registration rolls as well. So, you know, one of the biggest takeaways I'm getting is, was there a problem with the list that the Democrats were given? If so, what happened and how did so many people fall off of the registration rolls since the last election up there in New Mexico? You can add to that, as you alluded earlier, this vote, as of I think it was Thursday or so, there was about a 200-vote margin between Clinton and Obama, and it was found that, three ballot boxes full of ballots, uncounted, were actually kept overnight at the house of the Rio Arriba County Democratic Party chair.
Well, that's a safe place.
Yeah, well, right, yeah. And it just happens that that chairwoman, her husband had, not to stoke the conspiracy flames here, but her husband had endorsed Hillary Clinton. And as far as I know, there is still no reasonable explanation as to why ballot boxes with paper ballots in them were kept at the home of the Democratic Party chair.
It was really cold outside.
Is that what it was? She was keeping them warm?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that was very thoughtful of her. Then my apologies.
We're going to take a break and return the switchboards jam. We'll get to as many calls as we can right after the break, so hang on. You can email me, Peter at peterbcollins.com. Email Brad at bradblog.com. He'd love to hear from you.
You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Checking traffic on KRXA, and we do have a couple of problems out there for you. Greenfield, northbound 101 before Oak Avenue. It's a solo spin out. The activity is in the center divide. CHP is on the scene. Tow truck is on the way. Look for some heavy traffic as you approach the scene. For Prunedale, northbound 101 at Echo Valley Road, we've had several reports of a large gravel spill in the merge lane. It looks like crews are on the scene now trying to clear that up. That may cause delays there as well. For Pebble Beach, just a heads up, the AT&T Pro-Am takes place this weekend. That should cause major delays if you're in the area. Ben Lomond, northbound 9 between Middle Road and Western Avenue. The left lane closed for road work until the end of this month. That may cause delays. 17th, Santa Cruz Mountains currently checking and installing accident-free. 101 going through Salinas has been problem-free all afternoon, and this is brought to you by Carfax. A flood-damaged car is like a ticking time bomb. Nearly half of these flooded cars get fixed up and resold. Do you want to avoid them? Ask your dealer for a free Carfax vehicle history report or go to Carfax.com. Have a great weekend. That's traffic, and I'm Nate Nix on KRXA.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Every night, Jack Thomas camps out on a cold, lonely street corner. Tonight, some people almost brought him something to eat. Someone almost drove him to a shelter. Another almost brought him a warm blanket. And Jack Thomas, well, he almost made it through the night. Sometimes instead of giving, we almost give. But that's the same as not giving at all. Don't almost give. Give. Visit don'talmostgive.org. A message from the Ad Council.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. My favorite protest songs of the day, John Fogerty of Creedence fame, Can't Take It No More. And our media hero of the week remains Montel Williams. He went on the Fox News Channel. They asked him to exploit Heath Ledger's death. He declined. And Fox television stations in the following week dropped his syndicated television show. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that America? We continue with Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. Switchboard's jammed here, Brad. Anything else you want to cover before we go back to calls?
Let's see. I'll try to, I'll hit those calls real quick if the switchboard is jammed. Other than I'll add that there were problems in pockets all over the country, including in Georgia, where there was lines to vote as long as 2.5 hours at one precinct. Where they're using the new Diebold election or e-registration book, e-poll books out there. There was a lot of lines, and in fact, where there was 2.5 hours at one place called the Welcome All Community Center.
Welcome All.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And for people who've been following the J. Kenneth Blackwell saga, he declined to appear before the Judiciary Committee this week. And if you go to Brad Blog, there's a link through my favorite rag, the Cincinnati Inquirer, to a letter that Ken Blackwell wrote to the committee. And put your BS detector on before you read it. But it is interesting. Let's go to Valerie in Monterey from Save Elections. Welcome back to the show, Valerie.
Hello, Peter. Hello, Brad.
Hello, howdy. Valerie.
We had a fairly quiet election here. Everything ran fairly smoothly as far as we could tell, but Save Elections had four of our members at headquarters after the polls closed to watch the carrying in of the ballot boxes from the polling places and the processing of the paper ballots. While we were standing outside of the window, I noticed, and Nancy noticed with me, that the ballots, after they came into the warehouse, they were opened and a reconciliation was done to count the ballots. But then when those ballots were carried in and set down alongside of the 400C optical scan processor, we noted that the paper security patch,
the seal,
I guess you'd call it the seal, the mm-hmm. patch, was hanging loose. It was stuck to the cardboard lid, but it was still intact.
Well, come on, be a sport, get some chewing gum, and fix it.
Well, we saw that what had happened is they had a marker, they had a white paper marker at the center of the lid on the box so that people would know where to put the seal.
Right.
And they had covered that up with Scotch tape that was about 2 inches by 12 inches long. And so the sticker that was supposed to seal the box would not adhere properly.
Hmm.
And so in some instances, there were two or three seals that had been plopped, you know, one on top of the other. But these seals had no number. There was no way to determine whether it was the original seal that was put on the box before it left the polling place.
Sounds like something that came out of a Cracker Jack box.
Well, I discussed this with Linda Tulette, our registrar of voters, and she informed me that she had decided to use this seal because other seal that she had considered was too expensive and too unwieldy because it would have to be placed around the perimeter of the lid, and she didn't think that was what she wanted.
All right, Brad, your comment?
My comments are thank God there's folks like Valerie out there keeping an eye on this stuff. Hope you got photographs. And for all of the money that we hear about these people saving, for all the times we hear people saving money on, these things that don't cost a whole lot, you know, down in Riverside they decided to save money by not including privacy sleeves on the absentee ballots they were mailing out. You know, it's amazing the money that the dumb things they want to save the money on and the ridiculous things that we'll spend millions on, like machines that, like those up in Monterey that they simply had to trash when it turned out they were no good, like folks like you tried to tell them in the first place.
Valerie, thanks for your vigilance. Thanks for reporting that. And John in Pacific Grove, you're next. Go right ahead, John.
Thank you, Peter B. Three things quickly. I did vote as a declined estate. Unfortunately, I voted for Kucinich, and he retired after I had voted.
Mm.
Secondly, something like 60% of the votes in Monterey County are absentee. And I think the morning's paper said there were going to be quite a while getting through those, plus, I guess, any provisional. But to Brad, I sent you an email about the grand jury report of 2007 about using, I think it's a Sequoia Edge machine, and the grand jury praised them and said use them, but they had a whole list of security procedures and no comments about the machine itself. And I sent you to Brad Blog, and I didn't get an email that said you did not receive it, so I assumed you have, and I was wondering if you had a chance to read the Monterey County Grand Jury. KRXA is in Monterey County.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, I know. And I did, I got to skim that. A bunch of people had sent that to me, and I have no idea where the hell they came up with this grand jury to make such a ridiculous recommendation as they did. It's a joke. Frankly, I don't know what difference it's going to make because Secretary of State Deborah Bowen, who has the rule of law here, said those machines can't be used. So whatever
trying to play in Monterey, I don't think it's going to get very far.
I'm not so sure it's tricks. I don't think they understood the black boxes that they're telling people to vote on.
Well, why they were going to this grand jury in the first place to get this particular decision, which clearly they wanted to get, remains to me unclear. And like I say, I can't see how it could go very far, given that the Secretary of State has the right and the rule of law in order to say, no, these systems cannot be used.
Well, typically the grand jury, because a friend of mine is now on the grand jury, that the issues are brought up by members of the grand jury, and someone apparently decided that the black boxes or that whole system needed to be looked at with all the concerns that you have raised and other people have raised. So I'm assuming...
John, I'm out of time.
Journal.
John, thank you for your call today.
Yes, thank you.
And I'll ask Brad to respond by email when he gets a chance. Brad, thank you very much. Take the weekend off, will you?
Can't do it. Diebold's laying off 5% of their workforce. Someone's got to cover it.
Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com. He never quits.
We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, you started the company more than 30 years ago, and was it partly because you were getting headaches from wine?
Absolutely. I'm an extremely chemically sensitive person. There were no wines, no conventionally grown wines that I could really drink and enjoy until I accidentally tasted my grandfather's wine and discovered to my extreme surprise that I could drink those wines without getting headaches. More and more people suffer the results of the accumulation of toxic substances in our environment, and our tolerance is getting really strained, and therefore it takes a very little amount of a toxic substance for them to start have an unpleasant experience.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE. Toll free, that's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Searchers have found four bodies at the Imperial Sugar Refinery near Savannah, and authorities say at least four workers are still missing. Finding them will be an arduous process. CBS News correspondent Kelly Cobiella is there.
Crews are fighting through fire, collapsed walls, and as much as 8 feet of water because pipes burst during that explosion. And the number of dead is expected to go higher, in part because so many of those who made it out alive are burned so badly that they may not survive.
Officials suspect last night's explosion was caused by sugar dust. Since 1980, 300 industrial dust explosions have killed more than 120 workers. President Bush visited a different disaster scene today. Tornado ravaged Macon County, Tennessee, where 14 people were killed Tuesday night.
We want the folks to know that there is help from the federal government, but there's also going to be a lot of help from loving neighbors.
The overall death toll rose to 59 today. Before the president left Washington, he made a political speech. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller has that.
Addressing the same conservative group that heard yesterday from John McCain and Mitt Romney, and we'll hear tomorrow from Mike Huckabee, President Bush mentioned none of the presidential candidates by name.
And soon we'll have a nominee who will carry a conservative banner into this election and beyond.
A spokesman says that statement was not meant as a veiled endorsement of anyone. But Mr. Bush called on conservatives to fight for victory to keep the presidency in GOP hands. Mark Noller, CBS News, The White House.
There are caucuses or primaries tomorrow in Louisiana, Kansas, Nebraska, and Washington State, along with the Virgin Islands. Maine Democrats caucus on Sunday. Kirkwood, Missouri is in shock. Mayor Mike Swoboda is in critical condition. Five people are dead because last night a disgruntled resident decided to fight City Hall with a gun. CBS News correspondent Cynthia Bowers has more.
This is a tragedy of untold magnitude.
The killer had a winning smile and a sweet nickname, but for years, 51-year-old Charles Lee Cookie Thornton had fought bitterly against Kirkwood City Council over parking tickets and fines related to his construction company. Thursday night, he decided it was time to end it.
My brother went to war.